What's poppin'? The Drew and Mike Show, taking you into a big holiday weekend. Yes, it's the last show for 3 days. If you're running on time with us, you better savor this one, because Memorial Day weekend, and 10 people can gather, so...
That's right.
There could be some barbecues Monday.
Who wants to gather with more than 10 people anyway, right?
It's a weird concept.
I'll barbecue your ass.
So we're in the DealsNeedy.com studios for the Drew and Mike Show, and we're starting late. I felt really bad because we said 4:45 on Twitter for Facebook Live folks, and then Trump was speaking, and he's at Ford locally, so I had to watch it. I'm going to spare my comments so we don't open the show with 45 minutes of crap. But there's some very interesting stuff going on here. I'm kind of fascinated now as to the battle between Gretchen and Trump.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of gaming going on. The woman from Michigan.
Politics.
And, you know, I'm that woman from Michigan. And then the absentee ballots and Trump threatening to take away. And today, it got super petty. I think Gretchen was winning, actually. And Trump is hard to beat at that game. I think she was beating him. But I think a bad step backwards was taken today. And we'll talk a little about that. It was interesting. It has nothing to do with politics. It's really about gamesmanship. There, see, so you don't have to get upset. What's said?
Oh, someone will.
I know. People, everybody, you know, it's a tough time. People are getting upset about a lot of stuff. And this thing, what happened today is about masks. So, you know.
What happened today?
I think I'm going to save it for later.
Is your phone playing something?
Oh, Christ.
If people only knew.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was just playing. By the way, I'm using the Amazon portal to buy the equipment that we were talking about before the show.
Yeah, so Trudy doesn't sound trebly like she sounds right now.
I realized I have now put 3 microphones in my cart, and I believe they're all coming. Two of them are coming on June 1st, and one is coming on June 3rd.
So. Why'd you buy 3?
What are mics 2 and 3 for? Red
Did
Shovel
not
Network
look
is
like it like landed in my card.
Red Shovel Network will only reimburse you for 1 microphone.
What is going on today, man?
I know.
And I think Brandon's head's just going to explode at some time during the show.
No, I'm good.
You sure?
I've been listening to a lot of Zooms, and I wonder how people are doing with their Zooms. They seem to be doing fine. I mean, Zoom is really pretty cool, but when you care about how it sounds, it gets a little different. Gets a little tricky.
Don't say.
Hey, so Scott says my microphone sounds good. So there's the feedback from the listeners.
Okay.
Cool.
Cancel that microphone. Red Shovel is no longer covering that microphone.
3 microphones.
Or at least 2 of them, yeah.
Our friends at Death Wish Coffee bring in Facebook Live. Dark roast, bold flavor, reliable. Don't ask questions. Our OG bag of beans may be the only morning friend you'll ever need, if you're lucky. Each cup of Death Wish coffee, brews smooth, is extra caffeinated to fuel your busiest days. We recommend 1 cup first thing in the morning in total isolation. Basic brews, not invited. Go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. Use the code Drew15 at checkout to receive 15% off your entire order. And check my Twitter, by the way, because I sent another picture out of our first responders. They just got another pile of stuff from Death Wish Coffee. Yes.
Good.
Oh, it's great. And all we had to do was ask.
My mom was asking me about it. I said, it might be too strong for you, Mom. It might be too strong for
she
you.
She a big coffee drinker?
She told me to be careful with it.
Oh, it might be too strong?
She's pretty cute.
For you?
Glad she cares. Yeah.
Well, she's
nothing I can't handle.
She's still your mom,
darling.
Oh, what a crazy day. There's a couple really interesting things I wanted to get into right off the top that I think only Mark knows about. I'm not sure about this. Okay, there was something on Facebook yesterday that I just bumped into. I think it's one of my 5,000 friends just posted this, and it was I'm not going to call him out. And I don't want to say who she is, but they put this person's high school picture on their post. And they included,
not your friend.
They included a text message that this person had been sent from that female politician's high school boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Oh, that's really fake. Cryptic. It is fake?
I don't know. It looks fake.
Well, whether it's fake or not, you know, I'm assuming that he thinks this is true and thinks it's funny because the high school boyfriend is texting to him that they had butt sex in high school, that she took it in the ass. And, okay, before I sound real
heavy. What's wrong with that? Good for her. Glad she is. She's a woman of the people.
Of course, a lot of comments about, well, I voted for it if I knew that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And before I get real heavy-handed about this and get on my United States of Assholes thing, I will have to say that my first response to it was to text it to Matt.
you're complicit.
And I received it about 4 or 5 times as well.
And as soon as Matt and I talked about it and had a few laughs, for some reason, I don't know why, I started thinking about it again. I bumped into it a second time, and I just thought, wow, think of that. That her high school boyfriend, first of all, he texted his friend. I sure. think that's fairly normal. I don't think that's unusual. Because I remember Dennis Duff, who I played baseball with at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
He had this girl named, okay, what's her name? Kylie something. Was Miss
Sounds hot.
No, not Kylie Jenner. This was back in 79 or 77 or something. Kylie somebody was Miss America. And she was Miss Virginia. And Dennis had nailed her.
Hey, all right.
So, you know, that's pretty cool when you see all those beautiful women up there.
Yeah.
And somebody that you marked.
Yeah. Now, do you think there's
Miss
people?
America.
Do you think there's people that, like, you know, earn shame? Maybe they nailed Hillary and they're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I nailed that.
Possibly.
Yeah. Although it happens.
Didn't we decide that any female on TV you had sex with, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It is extra exciting.
I hope you are hitting that.
Yeah.
A TV news anchor? Oh, my God.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Anyway, I just thought.
Some of the comments.
Just felt like, you know, look how far we've fallen. Look at how far we've fallen. This guy texts his friend who decides, you know what? This would be great if I posted this on Facebook.
Yeah.
So millions of people can chuckle or, you know, have naughty thoughts.
Well, didn't I mean, kind of, shouldn't we just assume that they all have anyway, like every politician?
That's not the point. The point is, you know, I have to tell you, I would never, maybe I'm just a total square. I would never post something really nasty about an ex.
No.
It's just a rotten thing to do.
Oh, it's petty. It's cheap.
It's just beyond that. And you know, if you read the comments, everybody just thinks it's great. And here, you know, again, what did I do? I texted it to Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you would privately discuss it with your closest friend.
Yeah, I think if you had sex, if you put it in somebody's ass and they want to take office, I think you might tell people.
This
you
new
would.
Girl, she take it up the ass?
Oh, but isn't this an example of just how tolerant we've become of being an asshole? There was one negative comment. There were like this one post, I think there were 40 comments. All of them were like, yeah, you know.
No, good for her, man.
Whatsoever. And one
over the years, my ass is taking a pounding.
One female comes in and says, you know, that's really terrible. That's she maybe gets pounded herself.
Yeah. Oh, well, let me guess. Oh, you don't take it in the ass, sir. I'll put it in your ass.
I just see it as a fake post. That's one of those ones that people made up. Just
okay,
Brandon, put it out there.
But fake or real? It's horrible. I mean, it's horrible because I believed it. I don't know why. I just thought, well, I don't know. It looks like a text message.
Why
to
not?
Me.
Probably. Yeah.
It's either way, whether you believe it or not, it's just such a shitty thing to put out there because it might be true. I mean, it might.
Yeah.
Maybe she's proud.
Anyway.
Yeah, maybe she likes it.
The point was not, is it true or is it false?
It.
The point is that, you know, all these people are like, hey, this is great. You know, and I text it to Matt. I'm just as bad as them. I didn't post it, though. And there's just, on the one hand, our tolerance for assholes is just amazing now. It's like we just roll with all the assholes. And, you know, when people get into trolling fights with Richard Marx, you know, we revel in it.
Oh, no. When it's funny when it's not you. That's
yeah, I know. But it's really isn't it just rotten, though, that we've fallen? I mean, we have no standards. We have none.
No, that's the way. And
unless you're a white person calling the police on a black person or somebody sings the N-word in a song, I mean, then we're totally intolerant. I mean, or if somebody says you should wear a mask, then we have no tolerance whatsoever. I mean, haven't we fucking lost our minds?
I think Patient Zero was that guy that was on Donahue with the vest. Oh.
You know, we need that clip permanently in our system. That was... Can you find that, by the way? I think we should hear that again.
I'll pull it up in a second. I'm really interested at this aspect of... So is that supposed to be? Is it taboo still that she would take it in the butt?
Is this a respected politician? It's a respected politician, and the idea is she takes it. Yes.
Some women like it. I've seen videos.
A lot of women like it. I know. I've seen.
Trudy's cringing at that comment. What? I've seen videos. Brandon, you've seen some videos, right?
It's very okay. Can I just say
special
this?
Tab on Pornhub?
What do you mean you don't?
If you're
know?
A woman and you take it in the ass, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's kind of personal. I'd say it's very personal. And I don't think because you rise to some exalted position that your ex-boyfriend should be, you know, sending it to people who post it on Facebook. It's just, I mean, that's really shitty, isn't it? Trudy, back me up here.
Oh hell yeah.
Well, how about the fact, too? Like, if you ever want to aspire to greater things, you can never take it in the ass if you're a female because somebody might post it.
Well,
someone's going to post it anyway.
I mean, that's the thing with right now, as we speak, there is a 15-year-old girl who is getting all kinds of pressure from some 17-year-old guy to send him a nude picture, a topless picture. And, you know, when he shares it with the entire team or the entire school, you know, we'll all say, oh, my God, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? She's 15 and she hasn't been around on this planet for all this time of social media. And she doesn't know better. And she thinks this guy is crazy in love with her and would never do that.
Yeah.
But we have no standards. None.
Well, I really think privacy is one of those things people don't understand anymore.
You're right. No, Trudy, you're absolutely right.
You don't care about privacy anymore.
But
no, you should be entitled to privacy.
But we do care about privacy because when certain things, you know, like telephones and people are tracking where we go and people go positively nuts about that.
Right.
And you know what? Chances are they'll never be able to use that in any way, shape or form that will. I mean, are they really going to find something out that's so terrible? But privacy in the bedroom? I mean, that is that's absolutely private. Not saying I wasn't a little stimulated by the post. And the high school picture, to be honest.
Making it taboo. They're going to stop doing it.
Oh, what, putting out posts like that?
No, taking it in the butt.
I want you guys to take it in the butt now.
No. Not it.
Why?
Not it. It's between you two.
Trudy, what's the Facebook? Am I getting excoriated for being a square?
No.
Oh.
I mean, like I said, I texted it to Matt. That was my first reaction. It was instinctual. It was like a doctor hit my knee with a hammer.
Kyle, I just lost it, balls.
But I just want you to know how evolved I am that I thought about it in great detail later. Great detail.
Don agrees with the idea that there needs to be privacy.
Kyle said, ever since Hope Solo's butthole, privacy's been blown out.
And,
but I will say that
blown out's a word for it.
There is something really interesting about the whole fappening aspect because it's horrible, it's terrible, but we all wanted to look at the pictures, and we all did. And it's a terrible violation.
You know, I actually hear people say that, I won't look at the fappening pictures.
Yeah, right.
Like, that makes it better somehow.
With other people is what they mean.
Probably.
I've never seen them.
Really?
Really.
Me neither.
That is, by the way, the tolerance people have to go through that shit, too. I mean, that all those people didn't completely collapse and say, oh, my life is over, and just disappear from public view. I mean, it's pretty impressive those people hold their heads up and go out there every day. I mean, that is so bad. And yet everyone, and Aaron, the sports reporter, Aaron...
Erin Andrews.
Erin Andrews. Yeah. That whole thing. Everybody watched that.
It made her career, man.
didn't hurt her career.
I don't know. After that, she. Where have you seen her lately?
Got her on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, you know, I think her career actually has taken a turn. I'm not sure why though. Why would her?
Well, ever since didn't she leave ESPN?
She got ill. She was very sick.
Oh, really?
Maybe she ran out of talent.
Yeah, but she married an NHL dude, and so I don't think money's that big of an issue anymore.
Oh, maybe that. Is she having kids yet?
Seems like I don't know if she has children, but she married that dude. His name's drawn a blank, and then he got busted immediately for cocaine or something.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Whoa.
Who is she dixing yet?
Oh, sorry. Come on.
She's with a guy that does coke.
Obviously.
Jarrett Stoll.
What a silly question to even ask her. Of course she does. We'll probably see video of it soon.
Probably through a keyhole. I mean, that at the time, honestly, when Erin Andrews happened, the only thing that happened to me is, oh my God, I want to see that. And I watched it and I was like, wow, look at her.
I know. You're part of the problem, man.
Probably would have made her feel good if she saw the people go, oh my God, she looks fantastic. But no,
don't you love social media?
Of course she didn't feel that way.
I don't think she
felt that way. No, I don't think she felt that way at all.
Yeah.
But that's really the point, is what a not a big deal that was and what not a big deal this guy's post was. And let's just assume it's true, because it doesn't matter if it's true or not true. It's still just like the shittiest.
Literally. Stupid.
All right. Find that guy. Find the guy from Donahue, because he is a class act.
Did you watch any more of the episode?
No, I didn't.
Okay, cause I can't. I know, Trudy, you watched it, didn't you? Didn't you watch more of Trial by Media?
Big Dance Saturn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the women on the street that were saying, you can't go in there. She's asking for it. And the women were saying that. I can't find that part.
Wait. They were outside the bar telling people not to go in there?
They were man on the street, so the news would interview them, and there were plenty of women that felt like, you know, she was asking for it.
The Cheryl.
Share it all with us, please. Find it. I'm going to mention our friends at Zot Ford. And auto dealerships are, you can now go on the floor. You can make an appointment.
Soon. Very, very soon.
Oh, that's not.
Let me see. I
not as of now?
I
saw that in the.
Oh, May 26th. Never mind.
Okay. And 10 people or less can gather. And Mesa's still not open, unfortunately.
So 4 days for auto showrooms.
And Mesa is open for business, though. If you want to do curbside, hey, got 3 days? God, it was nice out. Nice day to go get some curbside Mexican food at Mesa. Wow. In Royal Oak, between 3rd and 4th, and they're on Grubhub, DoorDash, Uber Eats, or you can call 248-545-1940 and order some great fajitas from Mesa. Man, I'm hungry thinking about it. And I love the quesadillas with brisket. Trudy, you mentioned the brisket yesterday, and that got me very hungry.
Yeah.
So good.
And mocktails, too, if you got something going on with
those are so good.
Weekend party. The mocktails are great. You just add the liquor. Everything else is set up. So we got it going on at Mesa, 248-545-1940, curbside. And I'm telling you, it's not hard to park in Royal Oak anymore, unfortunately. It'll change, but we're working on that. As most of you know, Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, Zot Toyota, they're still moving cars, and they've got this whole corona thing down and disinfecting and the social distancing, and they're getting your death trap out of your driveway, and they're putting that new car in your driveway. Actually, in a way, that's almost better, you know, unless you really want to fuss around a lot. So if your lease is coming to an end or it's close and you want to get pulled up, call Anthony, 248-215-5151, or go to dealsindy.com and look at some cars. Look at some wheels. If you're a few months out, look at some possibilities that you might want to change into, because they got 0% financing for 84 months. Imagine how small a payment you can have for the next 7 years. Or zero due for under $200 a month. Plus, right now, while several dealerships are closed, all the dealerships can help renew your lease or get you out of your lease early with no penalties. And soon, you'll be making appointments, and you can be on the showroom floor. So, there you go. Check it out and surf their massive inventory at dealsindy.com or call Anthony, 248-215-5151. Anybody in the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Yeah, you know what? There's a cool story. It was actually in the USA Today a couple days ago about the first strip club to reopen in Wyoming.
Oh, the Den.
The Den. Wow, Trudy, you been there? They will strip, but they'll still wear a mask.
Which, cool. They're
topless.
Good. They don't have to talk to you.
Do they wear a mask over their ass in case they fart? What a concept. All the dancers are wearing masks on the ass because we know that farting, they're not sure whether this passes coronavirus along, but the mask will catch it.
Strippers don't fart. What are you talking about? They're very excited.
But they fart all over people when they lap dance them.
Those are queefs.
I bet.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Why did you make Trudy pay for that? You just had to do that. That is the worst word, isn't it? Just the worst. I mean, I hear it when I hear it.
It really is so bad. Not a fun word, is it?
I don't think so. I don't think I don't think women have a lot of fun with that word.
South Park lifted it up, though.
What's that, Journey?
South Park lifted it up. You know, the Canadian show.
The Queef Sisters.
I wonder if all these mask fanatics, these people who get so mad if you wear one or you don't wear one. Actually, the people who don't wear masks are madder at the people that wear one than the other way around, I think. But wouldn't it be funny if somebody got really pissed because they're wearing masks on the asses? Masks? What the fuck?
I'll pay for this.
This is America.
Or there's probably a few people who would say, you know, I felt so comfortable going to the strip club the other night. They not only had masks on their face, they had masks on their asses because we don't have enough information about flatulence, honestly.
Jess on Facebook said, you got butthole on the brain today. A lot of butthole talk.
So far.
So much butthole.
Just getting started.
Butthole.
So the Hall Financial Hotline today, is there an extra call or two?
Well, if you want to, I mean, we could call the strip club, yeah, strip see how it's club. Going.
Anything else, though?
No. I think we kind of gave up on Rod.
All right, Stan's not on the list right now. Stan's always an option on the Hall Financial Hotline. They are doing refis. If you haven't refinanced in the last year, Hall Financial says it's worth checking. It's worth going to their webpage. Go to DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewAndMike, and they'll get back to you. Or you can click the logo on our website, Drew and Mike Show. Fill out the online form, and they really are quick. That's one of the things they...
Yeah.
Like to talk about is how quickly they do this because it is annoying.
Huge.
To be quickly. In the middle of a refi or a mortgage. Ugh. But they do it in 10 days or less a lot of times. If you're together, they're together. If you're a little slow, they still do it in an average of 19 days. Or what was that?
Huge quickly. I knew you were going to. I'm just going to delete Tiger Woods.
don't delete it. I see, Mark.
The last three times I played it, you said, what was that?
Well, there's so many things that sound bad in this Zoom world. That I find myself wanting to understand what's going to sound bad, what's going to sound good.
I know.
I got so excited, too, because people were saying that our Zoom sounded really good. So I like being in that category.
I'm staying.
248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435.
Another one, too. I forgot. Scott wants to know, Brandon, how you doing with the Michael Jordan pizza guy? Michael Jordan pizza in a phone number, the one that was busy, that you give 100% to?
I don't know. Did we call back that number that was busy?
I did. He was busy every time I called it back.
He is being lambasted with interviews, so.
Well, we could try him today. Maybe he's done.
Oh, yeah. The guy with the old school phone where it's busy when he's on the phone.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there?
I don't believe that.
I mean, this is coming from someone who will claim that they're party line still when I'm desperately trying to keep someone on the phone. Is there anyone with a phone that is busy when you call it? Can you decline?
Sure. Why not? You can opt out. Can't you opt out of call forwarding and voicemailing and all that?
I don't know. Can you do that?
There's got to be landlines out there.
I just can't think of any time in the last 25 years that I've called a number that was busy and then called it and they said, oh, I just got off the phone. I mean, that's never happened.
12 years.
Long time.
Do you want to hear the man on the street from New Bedford in 1986?
He's referring to the woman who was raped by six men on a pool table.
Yeah.
And he's trying to help paint a picture where it could have gone either way.
Well,
that wasn't necessarily these guys just being overly aggressive.
We'll get to him in a second. These are some women on the street.
A man only rapes a woman if she wants it. Now, if she goes to a bar and comes on to the guys, what do you expect? I don't think they should have done what they did. But if she did ask for it, they should have just left her alone.
There seems to be a general feeling
that if a woman...
Those just surprise me that people...
This is 1985, if that...
Clearly, well, I think that's the point they're trying to make. Let me go to my man on Donahue.
Yeah, this guy's really a... He's a deep thinker. Looks at all sides. He likes due process.
Yeah, right. Let's see. He's a
rush to judgment against
him. On March 6th of 1983, a woman walked into Big Dan's Tavern, and what happened...
I have a question, too. For those that can't see it, Donahue, he's got four people on the panel, and they're not in chairs. They're sitting on, like, these carpeted boxes.
What?
Was it always that way? Yeah, let me back it up so you can see.
Well, they were trying to make it look mod.
Is that what that is? Because it looks totally bizarre.
It was probably a set trend back then.
On March 6th of 1983.
Looks like they're at Sears to get their photo taken.
It looks really, it does look weird.
Where the background merges into it.
As in all these cases, in some dispute right now.
At first, we had great sympathy for the victim in this case.
She was violated. If she could be standing there asking for it, unless they left the public bar that they were in, she was violated. She was violated not only by one man, but she was violated by six men.
Oh, Mark, who's this?
I didn't notice that they showed Mr. Vest guy in the background there, and he's got his shades on. He's sitting there doing... He's taking
not,
it
he's
all
He's not
in.
Shaking his head like, what the fuck is she talking about?
No, he's
developed a public back.
There is. Look at him.
And you saw this particular swing of the pendulum.
Some people have asked, did she ask for it? What was she wearing? Why was she alone? Did she know anybody in the bar? Does that matter?
You started to hear things about the poor victim in this case. Public questions about her history, her reasons for being in that bar, what seemed to baseless accusations about her.
When's rape? You know, you got to, maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys and it got out of hand. But I don't know, you know, it happened.
It happened.
It became the public conversation and controversy, of course, breeds controversy.
This is the sort of thing that causes rape. When people like you can stand up.
You know the story. I don't know the story.
I don't know the story, but it happens.
I've seen girls do this.
Yeah, but don't get crazy now. We're here to learn.
Wait, why can't we learn from him? He said he's seen women do this.
He doesn't know what the story's about, but he's seen it.
Yeah, he's fresh to the story.
Yeah, but don't get crazy now. We're here to learn.
Well, like fresh perspective. Play it again, because I love how he then tries to calm the audience down, and it doesn't work.
Oh,
but
Donahue?
It's cute. No, he does. He says, I don't know the story. It happens.
Right. You know, you got to, maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand. But I don't know, you know. It happens.
That became the...
He is so insistent that. It happens.
Of course,
audience separated at birth with the Saline City Council.
You need to leave.
Told the story. Well, then you should read the paper.
I seen girls do this.
Yeah, but he's never seen... He's never...
Don't shut the guy down, Donnie.
You need to leave.
What? You got a tiny bit of different perspective and you don't want to hear it?
You know who I think the guy sounds like when he says that line?
Who?
The guy that Carl Monday popped jerking off in the library.
Oh, Mike Cooper?
Listen to it again and he sounds like Mike Cooper when he goes, lay.
Do you have Mike Cooper available? Do you know if we, do you have, I mean,
the Coop?
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 Larry? Let's see.
And want to lay a couple of guys and get out of hand.
Dude, I think you nailed it, Brandon. I think he does sound totally a lot like Mike Cooper.
Accusations about her.
When he's like,
rape, you know, you got to, maybe she went in and want to lay a couple of guys and get out of hand.
Yeah, when he says couple of guys, I'm thinking when he says sports scores,
Brandon,
like right here.
No, I think you're dead on.
What do you look up on the internet?
Nothing really.
Can you explain
scores,
who this guy is?
Like,
what?
Is this going to explain itself?
Well, everybody knows who Mike Cooper is.
No, everybody does not know who Mike Cooper is.
He's being off the library.
Yeah.
He was
Carl Monday.
Carl Monday
pounding off
him.
He was busted pounding off of the library, and this reporter just kind of ambushed him.
This reporter, Carl Monday.
Carl Monday, yeah. And the father lost it on Carl Monday.
Larry!
Like it was his
Larry.
Fault.
Wait. Has Larry Cooper, has he ever lived in New Bedford? Has he ever been on the has he ever been on the Donahue show? Maybe it's his dad.
Oh, is that? Oh, so we heard our guy.
old Mike Cooper.
You, what do you look up on the internet?
Nothing really. No sports scores, stuff like that.
It's a guy that's very uncertain of himself.
Yeah, he doesn't even know he's going to bust him either.
You got maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys, and it got out of hand. I don't know. You know?
That became.
And Louis says, "And wanted to lay a couple of guys," like he understands.
Nothing really. No sports scores, stuff like that.
I love that he doesn't know the story, but he's so insistent that, hey, no, it's totally plausible. I don't know what happened in the story, but this could have been it.
And by the way, he totally knows the story.
Yeah,
he absolutely knows
the story. He was there cheering him on.
I'm kidding.
It happens.
That reminds me that today, Matt Lauer, there was more on Matt Lauer.
Did you see his cool new tattoo?
Matt Lauer has a tattoo?
Wait, do either of you guys know about Matt Lauer's cool new tattoo?
No.
All right, I just printed
Matt's
it out a while
tat?
Ago. Let me go grab it. Hang on.
You got to be kidding me.
It's on his arm.
What could it be? I'm dying of suspense.
Wait, Matt Lauer, what would Matt Lauer tattoo? Microphone.
Yeah,
I guess he can't tattoo NBC.
No, that's over.
Saying. What's that?
It's a
that's
saying.
Over.
A saying. And then over till it's over?
No. It's a script written, and it says, "Hatred corrodes the container it is carried in."
What?
How deep is that?
Whoa.
What a stupid tattoo.
The quote is pulled from a speech from former Senator Alan Simpson. That he gave at George H.W. Bush's funeral.
Alan Simpson?
Who gets a tattoo?
Who quotes Alan Simpson?
Alan Simpson?
Hatred corrodes the container it's carried in.
Wasn't he? Was he? He was conservative, wasn't he?
Alan Simpson?
Yeah.
I probably.
I think he was very
Wyoming.
He's not the guy with the wide stance, is he? No, that's.
No.
That's Larry Craig.
That's right.
Okay. Of course, then people want to point out everything bad Alan Simpson's ever done, too. And, you know, what did he ever do? It's not his fault that Lauer wanted that tattoo.
He eulogized 41, didn't he? Wasn't that Alan Simpson?
Oh,
remember?
Yeah, that's where the speed, that's where it comes
spot.
From.
That's where the quote,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hatred corrodes the container it's carried in.
Right.
Pretty cool. Pretty deep.
I'm trying to find my Matt Lauer notes.
So deep.
I apologize. Matt is. Matt's angry at a lot of people. And, you know, when this happened with Lauer losing his job, he really couldn't say anything, could he? Because remember, we're in the middle of Me Too. And it was like when Me Too descended on you, you just curled into a ball. Because there was nothing you could do. If you talked, it would just make it worse.
The mob. You have the mob, right?
Yeah, it was like a mob. And honestly, it's strange to me, you know, looking back on Me Too, because I think a lot of people are really questioning this. In fact, it's beyond questioning. Isn't Me Too sort of, not over, but I mean the business of
played out.
You're guilty and believe all women all the time. Isn't that kind of, we realized that was a little much?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, at that time, though, there was nothing for you to do. You couldn't say anything. And so now.
I don't know the story. Well, then you should read the paper.
Man, I've seen girls do this.
Yeah, but he's seen girls do that.
Matt Lauer, I thought, made some great points yesterday, and I think it's worth listening to him. He's a cad. He's a lousy guy. He was married, and he was trying to nail people within the Today Show, and we know that.
Yeah.
But it just reached a completely new level when they said he raped a woman. And this is someone that he ends up in a consensual affair with. And Lauer, what he's trying to say now is that, look, this. Well, he said it at the time, too. He said, I never raped anyone. And he said there were a lot of problems. I don't want to say anything. I support women. You have to say all that stuff.
Yeah.
And now I think the smoke has cleared a bit. And his timing is great because the New York Times came out and said, Ronan Farrow's journalism is kind of dubious. Very dubious.
Well, that's why he came out. He waited for, yeah.
No, I think his timing was good.
Yeah.
But there were so many people who just wanted nothing to do with it. It was like, I don't want to hear anything a rapist says. That was a popular tweet. I'm not interested in anything that rapist Matt Lauer says. Or it would be Yeah, this is a guy that pushed had a button at his desk to lock women in his office so he could assault them. Yeah. I mean, it was like people just take the worst thing because they don't like him anyway.
Yeah, Meghan McCain calling Matt rape button in my office, Lauer. That's what he should get tattooed on himself. Rape button in my office.
I mean, is that a little harsh?
He's an easy target, though.
No, and that was the point. You know, and I was really...
Don't you think most people don't really give a shit and they just want to pile on him?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, because they don't like him.
Yeah.
They don't like that he treated women that way.
Yeah.
And also, he was pretty smug anyway. I mean, there wasn't a lot to like about him. I thought he was good at his job, though. I thought he was very good at his job.
All I know, Drew, is hatred corrodes the container it's carrying.
Exactly.
So. No, people should drop the hate.
I'm going to write that down. Where can I put that?
Put it on your arm.
Yeah, maybe an arm. Or...
get a matching tower tattoo with Matt Lauer.
What about a tramp stamp area, maybe?
Yeah.
Anyway, right. So Matt, what I want to mention was part of the New York Times story, and I may have mentioned a couple days ago, that I found most interesting was they referred to this phenomenon, and I forgot what they called it, but it was when someone is writing something or has an investigative piece, and it's about someone that people don't like. And it's bad information about them that people are delighted to take in, that in many cases, a lot of those pylon type stories were not terribly well vetted or written or sourced. So they go down as, you know, that's it. Look what he did. He's an asshole. I knew he was an asshole. I always said he was an asshole. And now it's true. And nobody really considers the source. And for the New York Times to say that, I thought it was really interesting. And the fact that they would even bother to go back and take a look at Ronan Farrow. I mean, I kind of started thinking to myself, what they got on Ronan? Are they upset with Ronan Farrow? Say something about the New York Times? I mean, is there a battle? Because you always think there's a – it seems like nobody just does anything to do the right thing anymore.
Yeah.
Today's story was a little different.
Even though his reporting is terrible, it doesn't mean that the investigation NBC did that found some of the allegations credible didn't happen either.
Well, he had sex with a number of their employees. He swears it was all consensual. He agrees it was wrong. He agrees that it was inappropriate in his position to have sex with people that worked there. They weren't all direct underlings or anything, but, I mean... people have sex with people in the office. I mean, it does happen. It happens a lot. It happens to the boss, too. I mean, the boss has a dick that he wants to use. You're in the office with all these people all the time. It happens so much. There's so many people who are married to people they worked with.
That's where I met Julie.
And, would you say you had a good sex life with your wife?
And I hate feeling like I'm defending Matt Lauer, but I find...
yeah, get a room with Lauer.
Man. I found the Me Too thing...
who would want to put their penis in a coworker?
I just find these narratives fascinating, and the Me Too thing was fascinating. You know, when Oprah was on the Golden Globes that night.
Yeah.
Time's up! And
Me Too!
You know, Oprah for president! And, I mean, it was crazy. It was just a wave of madness. I mean, I wouldn't compare it to McCarthyism, but it was kind of crazy. And, you know, all these guys who wanted to defend themselves... really, all they could say was, I don't agree with those details, but I support women. You had to say that. You had no choice. The words time were in your up. Mouth. So anyway, yesterday, Lauer let off a little steam about...
your time is up.
He wasn't specific, but it's very clear he was referring to Savannah Guthrie and Hoda.
Me too.
Hoda Kotb. Because if you remember, the morning that NBC let him go... you know, everybody was watching them.
Yeah.
Are they going to do this? And he said, on the morning I was accused of rape, before I could ever say anything, and he did make a statement later in the day, but he hadn't yet. Before I could say anything, some journalists were already calling my accuser brave and courageous. We support her and any women who come forward with claims. And then Hoda, I believe, said, you feel like you know someone for 12 years, and all of a sudden the door opens up. And it's part of them you don't know.
And then it's closed by a button pressed by Matt Lauer at his desk.
And then she closed with, our thoughts are with Brooke.
Well, they worked with her, too.
No, I know. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have thoughts with Brooke. But, I mean, they really just basically said that he raped her.
Yeah,
I mean, she said he raped her, And there's no need to talk about anything else. Our thoughts are with her. She's brave and courageous.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot in that story, too, that this business of saying someone raped you and then you enter a consensual relationship like that Weinstein thing was so confusing to me. And I accepted it because I hate Weinstein and I wanted it to be true. Because I wanted
Ronan Farrow phenomenon.
Yeah, I wanted him to go to jail, so I was all up for it. But
plus he had what over 100 accusers.
Oh yeah, so. Of course. No one's ever accused Matt Lauer of rape until this, and this was long after the fact, and it was a sort of 2020 hindsight thing where she said, "Yeah, I think I was raped," but she was very drunk and she also didn't remember it very well. And, you know, she. You know, we could get into all those details, but I won't. Anyway, I thought it was just weird to hear from. John Malkovich came out yesterday, and he had a Me Too moment.
What?
John Malkovich.
Who did he Me Too?
He didn't Me Too anybody.
What?
He was Me Too'd by a college professor.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah,
female?
No.
What?
A male in his 50s. And
is that why he's such a good actor? I don't know what that even means.
I don't either.
He acts like it doesn't bother him until now.
He was 19, and he more or less said that, you know, I just declined and went on with my life. Now, he didn't say what he got for a grade in the class. I would assume he got an A because well, the guy was like, that guy could fuck me over.
Well, for spilling stuff since the age of 19, I mean, let's go.
Yeah, right? I mean.
I got lots of stories.
Doesn't that, yeah, come on, bring them. Yeah, well, we're here for you, Trudy. I support you. You're brave.
I kind of like privacy.
If you're feeling brave, just let me know. Okay, so moving on to the nothing category.
Oh, that's just the best category.
I love nothing categories. First, I'm going to, Brandon, is there a boner line today?
Yeah, there is a boner line. I did complete one.
Sweet. That'll be brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped.com. The promo code is Drew. If you want to get a real nice shave in places that you really need a nice shave and not a harmful shave, Manscaped.com. Promo code Drew. And then I want to talk about Luke Nowacki, who is watching that stock market every day and making plans for people financially, whether it's short term, long term, the rest of your life, or paying for college, or all those crazy things. And now it is crazy because some people are in need of liquidity because, you know, what's our unemployment rate at? I know 2.4 million people signed up for unemployment this week. I don't know what the number is. It's got to be 16 or 17%.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they, I don't know. I didn't see the number.
So
it's
some,
a lot.
Some
it's
people,
a shitload.
You know, 26 weeks are going to go by and they're not going to have a job right away. And
the prime working age, you know, the ratio of those working, not working, 25, 54, is 69.7.
69.7 is what?
Are working.
Oh, are working. 31%.
In the prime working age, I think it was around 80%.
Okay, so that's not the percentage.
Over a 10% drop. It's the amount of people in that age group that are working.
And what percentage were working?
About 80.3, 80.6. It's a huge drop. It's a massive drop.
Call Luke Nowacki if you need help getting through this or getting through the rest of your life, which we all really should get. 248-663-4748. Email Luke at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. And Security Investment Advisory Services of the Roland Analysis Incorporated, member of NRA SIPC. Roland Analysis Incorporated, separately owned other entities and our marketing names, product services referenced here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates. And Trudy's got the data on Dr. Roche, and then we're gonna have some fun with some lists.
Oh
man, I'm just letting the world go by and running down some lists.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. They're cool lists too. I love this one. I'm not even gonna tell you what it is. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's 20 great soundtracks from shitty movies. Isn't that kind of a cool category?
You know, my immediate thought is, I bet you some of those movies we end up liking.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Mallrats could be on there because people probably don't like that movie. I love that movie, but that has a really solid soundtrack.
Well, when I watched, because I was looking for, I want some really cheesy stuff to watch. I was just in that Saturday
80s
mood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I watched The Last American Virgin. And I watched
Valley Girl. Valley Girl, yeah.
And the third one, was it 16 Candles? Anyway, they all have great soundtracks. And they do make the movie a lot better, although I did like the movies anyway. But Trudy, take us away to Dr. Roche, and everybody has that exciting list to look forward to.
Well, they have their May promotion specials. They're in the offices of Dr. Roche by telephone, or I wonder if you can teleconference in with them to get a quick little sort of look-see at some of the issues that you might have. Show them some of the spots or something that you've gotten, or the fine lines and the wrinkles, and maybe they can suggest something. But they do have the mommy makeover leftover from Mother's Day for the price of two areas of Botox,
Dysport,
third area half off, and the Diva special, three Diva injections plus a free G spot. So you've got all of those.
Did someone say vagina?
Consult with them over the phone, 248-338-1110, or go to droche.com. And they hope you're healthy and happy and safety, or safe, but get with them when we're done with COVID.
Beautiful.
By the way, yeah, I have a little bit of lag, so that was weird.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
A little awkward, but.
Well, thankfully he's not here to hear that.
No, he wouldn't hear it. It's me.
He'll know. Believe me, he'll know.
Really?
He knows all. He hears all. Before
By the way, you can glob up too at the offices of Dr. Roche.
Can glob up. Wasn't that one of her things today, Whitmer's things, that she's opening up doctor offices too?
Oh, cool.
Or not doctor, but like dentist and other offices like that. So slowly but
electives.
Surely. It's funny, you know, there's like two major news stories today that I feel you just don't hear about. Because locally, it's going to be Trump visiting the Rossville plant, which...
And the flood.
It should be in the flood, with those by far and away, and then it's coronavirus. But there's actually another attempt at a mass shooting with an AR-15 in Arizona. Is it Glendale?
Ooh, really?
You know what I'm talking about, right, Brandon? Because we were talking about it a little bit beforehand.
I do. This guy's a loser.
What a total turd.
And he's not good. He Snapchatted everything. He was.
That was the point I wanted to get to. Yeah. Go ahead. Explain it. No, explain it.
I don't have all the details on it, but, you know, like we've seen in the past with the dude who shot the reporter and the cameraman on Facebook Live.
Yeah. Vester Flanagan.
And some of these. And some of these other more recent ones. Some individuals think that it's fun to go on, you know, Facebook Live or Instagram Live, or in this guy's case, Snapchat, and then me out. I'm shooting people. I'm awesome. I'm cool
20 years old, and not only that, there is an interesting thing about it. So he Snapchatted that he was on his way to go do it, which you know, you wonder then why couldn't anybody stop him? The law enforcement did know. They were well aware of it. We're trying to get there in time. But he said, "Hello, my name is whatever turd name he has. I'm going to be the shooter of Westgate 2020."
Armando Hernandez Jr.
No, I just didn't want to name him, but he flashed a beer can, which so now he's not of age and he was drinking too. He should be charged with that.
Oh, you're pissed off at the MIP angle of the story?
No, I'm pissed. I'm glad he did not kill anybody. One person's in critical, and two are in the hospital, but are going to survive. But no one was at the mall because of coronavirus. They were all at home. But, you know, he filmed the whole thing. His mom ran down to the mall as soon as her younger son said, "Hey, Armando's going crazy." That was what he told to his mom. So,
yeah, he got a dozen charges.
Yeah. And he gave up.
Three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Three counts of aggravated assault causing physical injury. One count of damage deface. Reckless damaging property. And then MIP.
I know. They should tack that on.
Give them that fucking MIP.
That would have been the number one story almost any other day, but there's so many other big stories. And then there was a terrorist attack at
base.
Yeah, at the naval base. They ruled that a terrorist attack. So just two big stories.
Naval bases, really.
And on that note.
Up their security, don't they?
Oh, well, I mean, we have seen stuff like that happen. And most
there's
recently,
the Navy.
We saw in Pensacola, we saw Porn Stash go and have his little his little rampage. And it's interesting because they just now were able, 5 months later, they finally were able to crack his phone. And what do you know? This guy, he's just communicating with Al-Qaeda all the time. Mm-hmm. He's just in constant correspondence with them. 5 months it took. I know Apple doesn't want to open up phones because it could start a bad precedent. But when shit like this happens, why can't Apple have one guy in a corner room and he's the only one that's able to open up the phone and say,
you let Apple decide when they can open it and when they can't?
No, it has to be the president has to tell them.
It took them 5 months.
Well, maybe not.
The Star Chamber?
Yeah, it'll be Star Chamber.
I mean, that's kind of the issue of it.
Well, you know, in that case, which guy's Porn Stash, by the way?
Porn Stash, down in Pensacola, Florida. It happened months ago. Remember he shot
up? What's Poppin' guy.
No,
that's Omar Mateen. That was Orlando. That was the gay.
Porn Stash is the loser who got really mad for being bullied by some of the American
military. Who called him Porn Stash?
Oh, that guy. Oh, yeah, that was a nickname, Porn Stash.
I got to tell you, though, they really want to focus on the whole Apple thing, slowing the investigation. Shouldn't they have known about it beforehand? There were so many red flags with that guy. We've even talked about that.
Yeah,
sure, but they didn't have his contacts.
So we worry about
it now. He's from Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, why don't we try stopping him beforehand?
Why are we training people from Saudi Arabia?
I don't know.
With all these military techniques.
But don't you think that some additional arrests probably could have been made had they been able to open that phone the day of the shooting instead of 5 months later?
Why? Because Al-Qaeda's going to call him the day after and go, hey, way to go. Good job.
Maybe he's calling people that are local.
No, it would have been nice to know. I agree with you, Brandon. Can we find out?
Slippery slope.
If you remember. I have to get the last word. I'll let you have the last word.
No, I don't want
it. Can we find out his three buddies who videotaped the shooting? Remember?
Yeah.
Because those guys, as far as I'm concerned, fuck them, and they ought to be put away. They should have been arrested for temporary murder, my new charge.
Yeah.
Until they got in that phone.
I would
agree.
At least
they'd be in there. Did they get charged? What happened to those guys?
They're probably still training.
probably right.
I mean, they're Saudi,
I mean,
right?
Isn't that kind of strange? Wouldn't you think that'd be a big story? Like, what happened to the assholes that filmed that guy?
That was like 4 months ago. No one cares. We're on to the next story.
I know. That's what my nephew Joe says for Freeburn Hot Wings. In a week, it'll all be over.
Oh, a week. 48 hours, man.
Okay, my list of 20 soundtracks from bad movies. Play the album, burn the film. 20 great soundtracks from bad movies from Rolling Stone magazine. The first one, I already am going to say I like this movie, Saturday Night Fever. That was a famous movie. That's a well-liked movie, I think. I don't know how people your age like it. But
a little corny.
Yeah, it was corny. I agree. It was Travolta's best moment.
Maybe that's on there just because of the strength of that soundtrack, though.
But I hated the soundtrack.
What? More than a woman.
Alive. I still like the song Stayin' Alive. And the feet walking down the street. That opening shot.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, is this More Than a Woman?
Yeah, do you want Staying Alive instead?
Yeah, Staying Alive. Yeah. Travolta.
That's cool.
Walking down the street.
Brother Andy Gidd, who had a solo singing career. He died of heart failure at the age of 30. Robin Gidd was 62.
Travolta. Badass. Walking down that street, acting straight, looking for a bathhouse. There's a lot of cool stuff in that movie. I remember not quite getting the whole Manhattan thing because I was like 17.
He touches my hair. I woke up my hair and he touches
the hair.
Yeah,
he touched my hair. You mess up my hair. The part where Travolta falls in love. As if people haven't seen this movie, but I guess some. Travolta falls in love with this rather refined dancer who lives in Manhattan.
Yeah, what's his name?
And where does he live?
Spoiler alert.
Where does he live? In Queens or Brooklyn or somewhere? Anyway.
Yeah.
So he's a great, Tony's a great dancer. Remember his brother was going to be a priest, like, you got to do something with your dancing, Tony. So he really wants to mark this girl. Trudy really got upset. I could feel the umbrage, Trudy, when I said mark.
Mark them.
Ooh, people mark girls.
Same. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Where's the mark then? Where do you leave it? I want to see.
Oh, you both can see it.
It's usually on the back.
And when he puts it on social media, everyone can see it.
Yeah. But we can't find Porn Stash's phone list that everybody online gets to see about.
That's
by the way,
right.
Everybody Verlander on Facebook knew who you were talking about.
Oh, no, they did because they saw the post.
I didn't have a clue.
Oh.
Well, you should have 5,000 Facebook friends like I do, and then you'll know these things. So.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Travolta. She's, can you help me move, Tony? He's like, yeah, bring a car. And he has to borrow a car from that guy The loser guy who drives everywhere.
God, I don't.
While that slut fucks everybody in the back seat. The guy?
Is it Little Richard?
Guy, I know.
No, it's not Little Richard. No, he would have done well with the
reference.
Though.
It took me a while to think of Little Richard.
So he bars this guy's guy. He heads over to Manhattan to a place because she's moving, and there's this old guy there. You know, she's like this hot girl, probably 32, 33. And Travolta's probably 24, 25. He's really in love with her because she's hot. Mm-hmm. She dances.
She can move.
So refined.
She's got like a penis.
I love the way she moves. She's so smooth and stuff. So this old guy is like, who's this guy? And I think the guy kisses her goodbye at the end. And so
he finds out she's got a dude.
Yeah, she's got an old dude.
Sugar daddy.
And Travolta, meanwhile, had gotten in an argument at the hardware. I work at the hardware store. I stock the shelves. And he's like,
tools.
I need the day off, Mr. Smith, because I got to help this friend move. And he's like, no, Tony, no days off. I'm sorry. And he's like, I got to help out. He said, it's not, I got to take the day off. And he's like, Tony, if you take the day off, you're fired. And he goes, well, then I quit.
Ooh, what a move.
And of course, when he goes back, the guy's like, Tony, you've got a great future here. Just like Irv over there. Look at him over in stocking. And yeah, they're all Fred at the cash register.
That's when he realizes he doesn't want to be like those old guys.
I want to be in Manhattan. I got to be over the bridge with her. So anyway, he's helping her move, and he's watching this guy who's like sort of handsy with her and stuff. And then the guy bolts, kisses her goodbye. He's like, yeah, see you, Tony. I mean, he's not even sweating Tony, because Tony can't put her in Manhattan. So Tony starts, who is that guy? What's going on? What's he got in his hands all over you? He's kissing you and stuff. And she's like, well, he's a friend. No, he's more than a friend. That guy's more than a friend. Who is that guy? And she's like, he helped me. He helped me. Like when she was just a little weenie secretary or something.
He helped him by getting him off.
Fucked her, and then he helped her.
What do you think the thermometer is on
Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah.
Let's say...
'Cause they're
78.
They're saying these are bad movies. You say 78. Brandon, do you know? What do you think?
I'm going to say 83 for the audience.
Oh, audience is worse than the critics.
What?
Yeah, you rarely see that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'd definitely say in the 80s. That's kind of an iconic
82 thing. For critics, 71 for the audience.
Whoa.
But I wonder how...
That's not bad for a movie from that year.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, if that's... like, people watching now are like, that's garbage!
Oh, I'm sure. You know, there's a lot of movies, I think, that if you're 25 or you're 35, I'm sure our audience watches movies that we rave on and go, oh, my God, it sucks.
Yeah.
16 candles. There's not a cell phone in the movie. number 19 next? Is Flash Gordon. And I don't think Flash. I've seen Flash Gordon.
That's cult.
Defender of the universe.
The Queen song in it.
Yeah.
Flash. Composed by Queen. Soundtrack composed by Queen.
Cool.
The band's Flash's theme is like the only thing I remember about the movie. Flash.
I think, didn't Flash Gordon play college football at Ohio State?
Did he?
In the movie.
Are you serious?
Thought so.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
On the plus side, the film was one of the first to turn a notable rock group into a movie composers. Trent still often seen today.
I remember seeing that in the theater.
Number 18 is Under the Cherry Moon. Anybody know what that is?
No.
It's Prince's follow-up to Purple Rain.
Oh.
It was not a sequel. That dubious honor belongs to 1990's Graffiti Bridge, which sees the Kid and Morris Day's rivalry continue into the next decade. But Prince's directorial debut holds a distinction of having the widest disconnect between the watchability or unwatchability of a film, and the listenability of its soundtrack. In this case, Prince's psychedelic pop-infused album Parade, featuring the song Kiss and Mountains.
Kiss is such a great song.
It is a great song. Blame it on the studio heads at Warner Brothers, who should have known the movie's headed for disaster when director Marv Lambert departed the project due to creative differences with Prince. Won some really bad awards, too. Maximum Overdrive.
I want to make a correction. Flash Gordon. I'm clearly thinking of Johnny Utah, who was quarterback at Ohio State from Point Break.
Point Break, yeah.
Keanu Reeves. Flash Gordon was the New York Jets football quarterback star.
Oh, boy.
In the movie.
Oh, like Joe Namath.
Difference. How stupid.
Ohio State quarterback would get paid more than the Jets quarterback. Maximum Overdrive, Stephen King is a man to credit for AC/DC's Who Made Who albums release as a soundtrack for his big screen adaptation of Trucks, the short story from his Night Shift collection about machines turning on their makers. Yeah. I have a great story about this movie because I went to see it with a comedian who was in town. This one was in Roanoke at 1240 WROV.
It's weird to go to a movie with a comedian.
Trudy, he was one of the stars of the movie.
It was
going to launch him from doing the Virginia, North Carolina comedy circuit to maybe a movie star. And we're so excited. I was pumped, too, because I like Pat. He's a really funny guy. And I was sort of new to the comedy world. They had just opened the first comedy club in Roanoke, which was exciting, man. Everybody went. It was sold out all the time because there's not a lot to do in Roanoke, Virginia.
Pat Hingle or Pat Miller?
Pat Miller. Yeah. Okay. He's a heavy set guy. Can you look up what he's doing now, Brandon? Because I have no idea. He could be dead because he was very heavy.
Is this him, Drew?
The reason I ask is because there's the whole cast, and there's two Pats in there. Well, you know how when you're in Wikipedia, there's everybody's blue, and then that way you can click to their page. Yeah, well, there's one guy who's not blue, and that's Pat Miller.
Wait, what does that mean?
Meaning, it means he doesn't have a Wikipedia. Yeah,
what?
So it doesn't link anywhere.
Can you see if
Pat Giles?
Can you Google Pat Miller comedian or something and see what comes up?
Pat Giles?
He's got to have an IMDb, right?
Yeah, because he's in a movie.
Pat Miller?
Pat Miller.
Is he black?
No, he's white. Here's the funny story. We go to the movie and, you know, hey, there's Pat. You know, it's like, that Pat. I'm sitting right here and he's on that screen. I mean, it was really exciting in a really lowest common denominator way, but Pat is in a scene where he's in a bathroom stall taking a dump, which, of course, we blew up when we saw that scene. That was like maybe the funniest moment of my life at that point.
And he was reading High Society magazine.
Yeah. What a good actor, though, man.
Tell me, man.
You probably got a boner in there because you're looking
really
at High Society.
A lot of firepower down the cellar.
That was a fart, wasn't it?
You heard him tell me to shut up, didn't you? Oh, come on, Joy. This is serious.
The actor that nobody ever heard of.
Grenades? Well, what else? Flamethrowers? Rifles? What?
See,
You're going to get us in an awful lot of trouble, man.
I never heard these lines because we were laughing so hard.
You shouldn't even realize it, buddy.
We're just recovering from the first fart now. We probably missed the second one.
Talk to me, Joey.
Just the two farts.
A well-known homosexual actor.
That's it?
Everything. He's got everything.
He blew up over two farts.
Now go and leave me alone, Billy.
Wow. There were many bathroom stall scenes in that day, that time.
Great.
I want to say.
He was a trendsetter. But,
I mean, Pat, I thought, this guy's rocketing to Hollywood. I'm going to climb on his coattails and go with him.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. We had a great time all weekend long. And then I don't think I've ever heard from him again. And I have no idea what he's doing.
Here's his bio from the internet. Last updated in 2005. Welcome to the World is presented by Pat Miller. He'll give you a point of view into life that is both inviting and unyielding. There's an edge to Pat Miller.
Wait, what are we talking about? Is stand up?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
An edge that has been repeatedly honed and dulled until it became sharp and ragged blade that cuts into the environment of life and may even leave a scar. That's all right. He will bandage it with laughs.
Wow. Yeah,
he's one of our finest actors, and
so they go on. They said maybe you saw Pat in the Stephen King thriller Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, still
maybe
talking about that in 2005.
Maybe it was Raw Deal or Blood Fist 3. Pat has made his mark in the film industry and continues to do so. His television appearances have ranged from Vanishing America on Showtime with Rich Hall.
Oh boy, Sniglets. Sniglets, Rich Hall.
I know. To Comedy Express Sniglets? On the Fox. Yes, it was terrible. To see Pat Miller is to see a man who presents himself as he does the world around him without shame or modesty. If he wasn't acting or performing stand-up,
Pat Giles,
he would make a fair televangelist.
Boy, that is the biggest bullshit bio I've
is
ever
he
heard.
Is still alive?
Life.
Pat makes his home in Southwest Virginia. He has survived two motorcycle crashes, three car wrecks, and being gored by a bull.
What?
Whoa. Is that true? He knows about rock and roll heaven because he's been to comedy hell.
Just a struggling actor with a thick.
Is there a recent picture of him? Is he still fat? He was really big.
There he is.
Very big.
Yeah.
You should have him on the show.
Yeah, let's try and find him. Pat Miller.
Southwestern Virginia.
He looks a little bit like my friend Tommy, doesn't he?
A little bit.
Pat Giles?
Okay, so where was I? Oh, yeah.
Back.
I was so in that movie theater that I couldn't get out. I could smell the popcorn. I got to tell you, it was really exciting. I mean, as dumb as that sounds, I was so pumped. And it seemed weird, though, that he wouldn't be at the premiere or something.
Well, I mean, you watched that. That would be cool to see a movie with a person that's acting in it. I mean, Drew, Mark, and I, we saw a movie with all the Red Wings in the theater. It was us three and then all the young Red Wings, and it was kind of cool.
But they weren't in the movie. They were in the theater with us.
And somebody might have said Kyle Quincy sucks, but I don't know.
Oh, boy.
It was still kind of fun to, I don't know, be in that theater with people like that.
How old would Pat Miller be about?
Pat would be probably, he'd be late 50s, maybe, 60.
Pat Giles?
Judgment.
50s, you think? Yeah, okay.
Judgment Night made the list of bad movie, great soundtrack.
Fantastic soundtrack.
Did you like the movie at all?
The movie's okay, but the soundtrack.
I don't remember it.
Because it's a mix.
What was Judgment Night?
Estevez?
Emilio Estevez was still trying to find his way in a post-Brat Pack world when this utterly forgettable action film was released about a gang of drug dealers chasing yuppies Estevez and Cuba Gooding Jr. through the main streets of Chicago. By the way, it's all sort of congealed in my head now that Cuba Gooding Jr. is one of the worst actors we've ever seen.
He's pretty terrible, yeah. The thing about this soundtrack, like, there was, I remember this because it's 93, I'm in high school, and there was so much buzz about it. It's like, they're merging, like, a bunch of our hip-hop bands that we like with the rock bands that we like.
Yep, Walk This Way inspired hip-hop. Rock and hip-hop mashups, which includes pairings between Cypress Hill and Pearl Jam, Teenage Fan Club and De La Soul, and Helmet and House of Pain.
The Helmet House of Pain.
It still holds up.
It really is a cool soundtrack. This is Pearl Jam and Cypress.
Second straight movie where Emilio Estevez is in it, right? Wasn't he in a Maximum Overdrive?
Was Emilio in Maximum Overdrive?
Was he the star of Maximum Overdrive?
You know, it's funny.
No, Pat Miller was.
Pat Miller has to be the number one star. Pat was like one of the main guys in the movie. That was what was so exciting. He was on the screen a lot. I mean, actually, I'm still laughing from that scene.
Brandon, you know the soundtrack, right?
Marla Maples was in it, too.
Marla
Maples is in what?
Maximum Overdrive.
Marla Maples was in that?
Maples.
God, I wish she'd been in the theater. Okay, the next
you
movie.
You could have changed her life, Drew.
And Yeardley Smith, who is Lisa Simpson.
Wow.
Hey, was Warriors on that list anywhere?
I loved Warriors, so that's a good
no,
movie.
No, let's not jump ahead just yet. Let's move on to the last Action Hero, which stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and includes music from Alice in Chains, AC/DC, Def Leppard, Cypress Hill, Fishbone, Anthrax, and Aerosmith. But I think I liked this movie, kinda. Not a ton. I think Arnold's movies were on a big winning streak, and this one didn't do as well, so it's considered a bad movie. But I don't think it was that bad, was it? Does anybody remember?
Brandon loved it.
This movie did terribly for him. In fact, he dropped out of a bunch of projects after this movie bombed because of the box office success.
Did you care for it?
I loved it. I was a kid when I watched it, and it was just fun. It was goofy. It mixed all these different worlds, whether it's cartoon or cops. I don't know. It was just a lot of fun. I loved it personally.
Want to guess the Tomometer ratings, anyone?
Oh, I'm going to guess
Last
it's
Action
about
Hero?
28 and 39.
Okay, I'll say critics will give it a 37, and the fans will give it a 48.
How the fuck do you do this? 36 and a 47. You're off by one on each of them.
Whoa!
That's incredible. That's an amazing skill you have. I don't know how you do it, but you can really guess the Tomometer.
And area codes.
Yeah. Well, that's harder now, though.
It is harder. Okay, next. Next on the list is Reality Bites, 1994. Oh, it wasn't such a bad movie. But it does have a great soundtrack.
That's my wedding song, isn't it?
Oh, it does? You too?
Yeah.
All I Want Is You?
Yeah.
Ooh, such that's a great song.
Hey, it's got a good Tomometer rating, too.
That's a great song. That's one of my favorite. Might be my favorite U2 song.
If you want to come over, you can watch my wedding.
Cool.
I probably have it on a DVD somewhere.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? I never think of you guys getting married when I listen to it.
What?
I should, but I don't.
What do you think? Don't tell me you think of Reality Bites.
I don't know what I think about. I think I just like the song. This is considered a Gen X-approved soundtrack,
Oh, yeah.
including The Knack, My Sharona, the scene in the convenience store.
I hate that scene. Yeah.
The next, Squeeze, Crowded House, and then newcomers like Lisa Loeb, who Stay, I Missed You, brought the unsigned artist a number one hit.
That's all she did.
This is another soundtrack with
that. Was her last hit, wasn't it?
Another soundtrack.
It was her only hit.
With Dinosaur Jr. on it. I think this is the second one because they're on Judgment Night.
Are you ready for a fun fact, a bloop?
Thinking about my wedding.
Hit it.
Lisa Loeb's Stay. The video was shot with one camera. Hoo-ah.
What's the first thing you think of with Lisa Loeb?
Somebody told me that. Somebody who remembers every frame of every video.
Really?
I think of the glasses and that ass.
The butt. Her butt shot from her
reality. She was cute. And you know what? She did a show on MTV to find a boyfriend, didn't she? Or to find a husband?
Isn't that where that butt shot, that famous butt shot came from?
Is that? Are we still on Facebook Live, by the way?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Lisa Loeb. You know, she got a bunch. Here's another bloop. She got a bunch of coin because she signed some deal with Amazon, basically just to re-record like lullabies. Like, for example, if you tell Alexa to play Itsy Bitsy Spider, for some reason, Lisa Loeb gets to sing it.
What? Really?
Huh.
Yeah.
This is a good. Stay is a good song. I kind of like it.
It's a good song.
Okay, next movie is Dead Presidents.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that movie. It's a hip-hop album, isn't it?
Let's see. Here's what they say. It sounds like a headline you might read in Weekly World News. Movie bomb spawns two separate soundtracks, but that is indeed what happened with Alan and Albert Hughes' follow-up to their debut, Menace to Society, an oddly Vietnam-themed pseudo-heist movie. Thankfully for us, it doubles as the greatest soul hits of the 70s mixtape with major hits from James Brown, Al Green, Isaac Hayes, Barry White, Curtis Mayfield, the OJs, and Sly and the Family Stone.
Whoa.
I always love this James Brown song.
Man, I gotta tell you, remember all the Barry White hits, Trudy, when they were coming out?
Oh, yeah. I love Barry.
I wasn't crazy about him then, but I love him now. Like, You're the Fast, First, You're the Last, My Everything. What a great song that is. And speaking of weddings.
I always felt very threatened by them, though, because if somebody played him for you and he was male.
Oh, you better put out. You're going to get marked. You're getting marked.
totally.
That song, You're the First. I have bloops today. That song was a wedding song. For a couple that Zip and I married on the air.
Oh, cool.
And Barry White called in and gave, like, good wishes to them before we played it.
That's so cool.
They say you think of their wedding.
Barry was awesome. Okay, next song.
When is he singing this song? I just want to hear him. The longest intro.
Wait, what song is this? This isn't your first, last everything, is it?
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, yeah, this is a hit.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that.
Lose the Brazier, my dear.
All right, what's next? Urethra's on that.
Life Less Ordinary.
I don't even know that movie.
Know that movie either.
Okay.
Judging by the cover of the album, it looks like a stupid movie.
I lost my place. Hang on one second.
Beck is on this soundtrack. Luscious Jackson's on the soundtrack. Does anybody know who they are?
No.
I remember the name. They say
they're on the Beastie Boys album. The female that drummed for the Beastie Boys originally is in that group.
A year after perfectly melding songs and imagery, they apologized to her for all their terrible sexism and misogyny.
Did you ever watch the documentary?
No, I haven't seen the documentary. Yeah. I read the book.
Book. You don't need to watch the documentary. That's the same thing.
A year after perfectly melding songs and imagery with Trainspotting, director Danny Boyle had the clout to command some of America's most popular musicians to create a soundtrack for his tedious tale of angels kidnapping and Ewan McGregor making goo-goo eyes at Cameron Diaz. Soundtrack's later tracks include a few lackluster additions like Bobby Darin's Beyond the Sea, but its earlier alt-rock nuggets, Ash's title song, Beck's Deadweight, Lucius Jackson's Love Is Here, Sneaker Pimp's Velvet Divorce, and Folk Implosion's Kingdom of Lies are the stuff for which the repeat button was made.
And the King's on there, too.
Yeah. Quite as often as I could have. Wait, he sings
I'd love to have a voice.
You're Always On My Mind?
This version.
I thought this wasn't written until he died. He's alive! Willie Nelson had a hit with this in the 80s. You were
always on my mind. I remember the Elvis doing this.
I didn't remember this.
How many times have you been to Graceland?
Just once.
Are you really a true fan?
But I went through the fan detector to get on the Lisa Marie, and it did bleep. City of Angels.
This is a long time.
Oh my God, this movie sounds terrible. City of Angels, 1998. Nick Cage playing the role of of a lovelorn angel.
Yes.
May have looked good on paper, but on screen, subtlety has never been Nick's strong suit. While some of the movie's tracks would have been better left in the late 90s, we're looking at you, Paula Cole. It also serves as a reminder of the decade's popular musical offerings with the Goo Goo Dolls, Iris.
Oh, God.
Alanis Morissette's Uninvited, Eric Clapton's favorite cover, Further Up on the Road, helping to land the soundtrack on the top of the charts.
And I remember hearing, it might even been Pop-Up Video.
Oh, Pop-Up Video. That's a great, I love that show.
That's where that's from. And I think, I'm pretty sure I learned from Pop-Up Video that this dude from the Goo Goo Dolls, he watched the movie
Johnny.
City of Angels. What?
No, go ahead.
Wait, he watched the movie.
He watched the movie.
Cool.
And he wrote, he left the movie, sat down, and wrote this song in 2 minutes after watching the movie because it just, he felt it. He felt Nick
Cage. This
song
is so way too serious. The hook is so intense, man.
Another album with U2 on it, so they might be on the most.
What, U2 song?
Yeah. To see me, cause I
don't think that they'd understand. Too sappy. When everything's made to be broken,
I just want you to know who I am. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
You know what's on here? One of the coolest songs ever's on here.
What? Yeah, Red House.
Yeah.
No way. Oh my God, the soundtrack rocks. I'm buying the CD.
Well, gotta watch the movie first.
Buy CDs?
I was kidding.
Oh, this song is so great.
Oh, I love this song.
What's next on the list?
My favorite Hendrix song. This song, this album, or this movie. First of all, I think it's worth watching because Chappelle's in it. Who else is in this? Jay Moore's in it. It's got a ton of people in it. Courtney Love's in it. Paul Rudd's in it.
200.
Christina Ricci, 200 Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Kate Hudson. And I thought the movie was okay. It wasn't the best, but it's worth watching. And the soundtrack is killer!
You are not the boss of me.
Do you like the way I smacked that vocal, by the way?
I believe that's where you.
That's all you care about.
Is it from that movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, and also Elvis Costello is in the movie.
So what's
makes it so cool.
Yeah, well, okay. His song is in it too, right?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. No. What's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding is in it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Blondie's in the Flesh. The Car's Just What I Need. The Ramones, I Don't Care. Joe Jackson's It's Different for Girls. My favorite Joe Jackson song, and I love Joe Jackson. And Roxy Music's More Than This. How can you top that?
It's a good one. God, I danced so hard to this song when he was... Where was he? The Fox?
Oh, at the Fillmore, right?
Or not Fillmore, yeah.
Is it Fillmore now?
Yeah, it's Fillmore.
Oh, I love Elvis.
I guess he's pumping.
Where are those phone calls that you guys used to make?
I still have them. They're on a CD.
We should get them and play them.
Okay. Do you have a CD player?
Yeah, we can't wait. Trudy, will you order a CD player?
Yeah.
Charge to Red Shovel Studios. And it is Red Shovel Studio property, of course. I'm gonna actually write on all this stuff. Red Shovel Studio property.
You need a sticker.
Yeah, that's funny you say.
Steal and die!
I was cleaning out the garage, and in the garage, there's a cool, small little radio. I forget what kind of radio it is, but it's one of those expensive ones. And I turned it over, and it's got a big metal sticker on it. It's property of Greater Media. Whoops.
Greater Media doesn't exist anymore, so therefore.
I know. I was like, should I just peel this off, or is someone going to come knock down my door and take it?
Okay, I realize this is a long trip through a short list, but moving along, The Beach 2000. I like this movie. I don't know why, because I've heard a lot of people say they hate it.
Is this DiCaprio?
Yeah, DiCaprio, yeah. When they find that magical beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
I wanted to go there.
It's Danny Boyle again. And
God, he's got great soundtracks.
He does.
Trainspotting's an excellent soundtrack.
He's up there with, what's his name, from Married the Heart Chick. Cameron Crowe. It's Lasting Legacy's soundtrack, which features a mix of rock, electronica, and Britpop from more than a dozen artists, including Moby, Blur, and New Order.
Ooh.
Mm. Okay. The Million Dollar Hotel. I didn't even know this movie. It's a rare day when one finds him or herself in agreement with Mel Gibson, but Mel's assessment of this Wim Wenders tale, based on a concept by Bono, as boring as a dog's ass, is rather astute. The soundtrack was the first and only moment of genius the film star mentioned in a later retraction about that statement is also right on. Executively produced by Bono, the Moody U2 contributions and three versions of Lou Reed's Satellite of Love, great song, are not the only reasons to not mute the film. Up to the sky. Lou and the Velvet Underground have about 10 songs that I absolutely love and nothing else I'm interested in. But I love the song Heroin. I love
Perfect Day.
Perfect Day is awesome. Lovey Suzanne. We've played that at WAAF. Wait, what's the big one? From
Walk on the Rock Wild Side.
Animal. Walk on the Wild Side and Sweet Jane.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a few others. What's the song, Blue Eyed Girl or something? Sad Tale of a Blue Eyed Girl.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Great song. Of course, this one would be on the top of my list. I Am Sam.
That's a great movie.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It's an excellent movie.
Sean Penn's lack of success in securing the rights to original tunes from the Beatles may have been the only place where he actually succeeded in the making of sodden melodrama, which he plays a mentally challenged adult fighting for custody of his young daughter. The daughter's name, Lucy Diamond. Oh, boy. This seeming failure opened the door over for a flood of impressive Beatle covers, including Eddie Vedder's You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, Nick Cave's Let It Be, Stereophonics' Don't Let Me Down, Rufus Wainwright's Across the Universe, and Howie Day does a great version of Help.
Mm-hmm.
Slow.
I do like this.
Yeah, it's really good. I love that line, too, feeling 2 foot small, which Lennon said, I'm going to replace that, of course. And McCartney said, no! I think it's the best line in the song.
I think this is the best line coming up.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, you took the hook? Trudy, that is so trite.
It's funny, there's a lot of bands on here, like, I don't even know who the hell you are. What is Chocolate Genius Incorporated?
Yeah, there's a few weird ones on there.
Who's Heather
Amy Nova? Mann does Two of Us, which is such a great song.
Amy Mann's on a lot of soundtracks.
Yeah.
I like her. She's all right.
I like her. She's a good singer. I like Till Tuesday. Voices Carrie. Although the video has that stupid guy yelling at her in it. Remember that? Ooh,
Ben Folds.
How stupid.
Ben Folds does Golden Slumbers on her? Is that
not that great.
Ooh, ouch.
Remember Ben Folds was a bummer?
When we interviewed him?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought Howie Day's Help was pretty good. You know who I've been listening to this week, by the way, which is kind of weird? I watched that stupid documentary about that Seattle DJ who's gay and had cancer, and, you know, so he's worth a documentary. You know, the show wasn't good. he broke all these artists, including Harvey Danger.
Oh, Flagpole
Sitta. Yeah. And,
great song.
And I actually punched him up on Google Music, and I just let the first 4 or 5 songs roll. I like a lot of their songs.
Okay, listen to Gorillaz on Google Music. Gorillaz Radio.
Gorillaz Radio?
Yeah.
It's probably a lot of Blur on there.
That's Damon Albarn, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Strokes.
Now, why did it take this gay guy in Seattle to figure out this was a great song?
What happened to this band?
They broke up in 2009. They just didn't sell a ton of records. I don't know why. I think they're really good.
It's a great sing-along song.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I get this confused with a ridiculous song.
What?
I don't know why I get them confused either. I get the band names confused. I transpose them. When I hear this song, I think, wait, is this the Proclaimers? They're the million. 500 miles.
similar tempo.
Is it? It might be.
Kind of marching.
Is my, that my brain doing that to me?
Do you like marching Maybe. Songs?
Well, my favorite, of course, would be Matthew Wilder's Nothing's Gonna Break My Stride, one of the great, classics of the 1980s.
Down.
Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. That's actually Kevin Cronin singing lead on it.
Is it?
That's why he says, break on my stride. No, I'm kidding. I'm fascinated with bad songs that are hits. I don't know why.
It's a good song, Don.
Yeah. So, Garden State 2004, Zach Braff's movie.
That's a great movie.
It is a good movie. How can they say the movie sucks? But it does have a great soundtrack. Paul Simon.
Coldplay.
Iron Wine, Nick Drake. Grammy Award for Best Compilation Soundtrack. Whoa. Elizabeth Town 2005, Cameron Crowe always has good soundtracks. This is not his best movie, though. I would agree with that.
But Elizabeth Town was Orlando Bloom?
Yeah, Orlando Bloom. And who's the blondie? Stewardess? Not Stewardess. It's
God, I have no idea.
She's in a ton of stuff around this time. I don't think she's been in much lately, though.
I don't think I've ever
heard of
this.
She's the female lead in Elizabeth Town.
Oh, Kirsten Dunst?
Yes.
Oh, she's in. Yeah, she has a series on
Showtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's okay.
Bring it on.
Ought to be a god in South Central Florida or something, I think it's called.
The coolest thing in this movie is, to me, it's early in the movie when, maybe it's later in the movie, when Elton John's My Father's Gun comes up, because that is the greatest song. I don't think anyone knows that song.
No.
First of all, gun people should love this song.
Yeah, it sounds like a tempo gun owners would love.
It picks up. It's about his father dying, and from this day on, I own my father's gun.
How did the father die? Did he shoot him with his dad's gun?
I think he was in the Civil War, actually.
What?
I think. I'm not sure.
You like a song about the Civil War?
Well, there's no electricity, I admit, but the song has electricity, so I make that distinction.
So confusing.
I don't even know if it's about the Civil War. Don't quote me on that, anybody. Yeah, Wear the Color of the Grays, isn't it?
Yeah, the Blues War? And the Grays. I only know that from the old Blue-Gray game. The cause is
fallen one. I have to duck out.
What happened?
Oh, I have something that I have to do tonight that has to be done by tomorrow, so.
What?
Sorry. You need to
leave. That was as cryptic as Mrs. O'Twat saying he's in a project that can't be stopped.
It almost sounds like Trudy's getting marked tonight.
She laughed uproariously at that. Let the record show.
We'll just leave it at that.
All right. Is everything okay?
Okay.
Yeah, everything's cool.
All right, Trudy.
See ya.
Have a good weekend. 3-day you weekend. Too.
Tom Petty, song in the movie, Ryan Adams, My Morning Jacket.
Okay, bye.
Nancy Wilson. The then Mrs. Cameron Crowe. Nancy Wilson and Cameron Crowe broke up. I don't know why that bummed me out. I thought that seems like it'd be a perfect couple.
What did he sleep with Anne?
No, I don't think that happened. I think they grew apart. Marie Antoinette. Now, that's interesting.
That's
because it's
Kirsten
before electricity.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's this ancient story, you know, let them eat cake, and she ended up, she got her head lopped off and all that. Spoiler alert. But they use really current music in it, which was very kind of controversial. But the soundtrack was great. New Order Ceremony, Bow Wow Wow's Aphrodisiac, Gang of Four's Natural's Not In It, or The Strokes, Whatever Happened.
It's a 2-disc set, too.
Is it?
Yeah, I wrote down one that should be on this list, too, and I'm kind of intrigued to see if it is.
Okay.
And, you know, A Knight's Tale, that's kind of similar where it was, that's a Heath Ledger movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's set back in the...
Brandon, he's got good bone structure, doesn't he?
Oh, he did, yes. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
His bone structure's still with us.
But A Knight's Tale, that's what they did, too. You know, it's set back in the times of, like, the Canterbury Tales and everything like that. But it had a modern soundtrack, which is a little weird, but it kind of worked.
Yeah, I thought it worked in Marie Antoinette. I didn't think the movie was that bad. It wasn't great. The soundtrack was better than the movie. I would agree with that. And I've lost my place, but you know.
Well, then the one I was thinking of, because it kind of goes along that line. Remember the Romeo and Juliet remake they did? No, Baz Luhrmann. No,
who's in it? Yeah. Who's in it?
Leo. I think
Leo.
DiCaprio's in it.
Oh, is that an old movie?
Claire Danes.
Mid-90s.
What music does it have?
I know Radiohead's in it, Garbage is in it, Everclear.
Ooh, those are good bands.
No, it's a really good soundtrack, but maybe the movie was too good to even make the list.
Yeah, that's the problem, and I do think they put some good movies in this list. Grindhouse, 2007.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I like that movie, though.
Yeah. I did not care for it terribly. I mean, as far as Quentin movies, it's not one of my faves, but they say Quentin Tarantino has largely avoided the many pitfalls that accompany the typical filmmaker's rise from obscurity to the Hollywood A-list, but he let his ego get the best of him when he and his buddy, collaborator Robert Rodriguez, decided to put two movies in one for this ode to exploitation cinema. Yeah. Rodriguez composed the bulk of his own soundtrack, including the John Carpenter-inspired score, while Tarantino, true to form, relied on vintage tracks like Smith's Baby It's You. That's a great song. The Beatles covered that. It had to be good. Do you know the song Baby It's You?
No.
By Smith?
I'm fine. It.
Beatles version is pretty good, too.
By the way, the thermometer for Grindhouse, 84 and 87, so I don't know why.
Yeah, I remember it getting, the critics seemed to like it at the time, and I know people that love the movie.
You said Baby It's You.
A little over the top.
Baby It's You by Smith. The Coasters down in Mexico. DOA, homage to driving car chase movies and slasher flicks. The Twilight movies, 2008 to 12.
No way.
These movies are garbage.
Tom York, The Killers.
What?
Muse, Bon Iver. Tron Legacy, 2010.
Really?
I don't even know that movie. Let's see. Mysterious French Duo took a...
Wait, that whole album is done by Daft Punk?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, called on EDM pioneers and 70s disco arrivals Daft Punk to help bring the cyber-updated Tron 2.0 into the new millennium. It worked.
You can just see that being in a Tarantino movie, can't you?
Absolutely. He pulled the latest soundtrack from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He picks some really obscure hits. I mean, if a hit can be obscure, meaning you don't hear them today. Yeah. Like Roy Head. What's that Roy Head song?
Oh, was it in this one?
It was in
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Treat Her Right.
Treat Her Right. But it's coming out of an AM radio in a car in 1969. And it's kind of a hokey song, but it's Springsteen plays it. It was kind of... I played it in an oldie station.
Well, remember that big story about who does the music for Tarantino? It's a woman, and she just comes over to his house, and he's got so many albums, and they just start going through and picking them together.
Wow, what a blast that would be.
Yeah, and then they have to go get the rights.
I mean, it sounds like an AM radio song to me.
I want to tell you a story. Every man ought to know.
Roy Head from Texas.
Got Seegers in the movie, too, the Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
Oh, great song. Oh, I love the Paul Revere and the Raiders songs. Good Thing. Good Thing is a great song. That's an AM radio song. She lays the needle down on it.
Yeah.
And Good Thing comes blaring out. Very cool.
So his brother loves Traveling Salvation Band.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better with Neil Diamond.
Cool song. Wait, that's in another movie when David Spade sang it. What movie was that?
The Joe Dirt was it in? Did he? I don't remember that scene. I mean, this song, it's all in the title. Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show.
Let's see if I can find it.
I like it when Diamond kicks it up a little bit.
It's in a movie called Lost and Found.
That sounds familiar. Who's in that?
He's lip singing. He's got a beret on.
Neil does?
No, David Spade.
Oh, Spade. Well, let me see.
So boring.
Does he go nuts on the hook?
You know, it's funny. I don't remember this movie at all, but I remember this scene. Where there ain't no trees. Winks. And that gospel group.
Like a baby, grab the old lady. Love Show.
I like Neil Diamond.
Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies.
Uh-oh. Oh! There go all Drew's awards just collapsed.
And that was actually a wall sound panel. I don't know why it's here.
To hold up your awards.
To hold up my awards. Yeah.
Lost and found, by the way, on the thermometer, 13%.
Yeah, the scene's funny, but it just smelled of a bad movie to me right off the bat. Okay, here's another list that I really liked. I don't know, it seems like the joy has just gone out of sports for me since 105.1, but every now and then I get excited about something, and I got excited about this list. What the best world. 25 team nicknames of all time. And I think this is baseball only.
Oh, baseball only?
Yeah.
And the Cleveland Spiders?
Oh, something like the Purple People Leader, like what they named the actual team?
Exactly. Like the Bronx Zoo.
Oh, so nicknames for the team.
The Yankees of the 70s with Billy Martin.
Murderers Row, would that be?
Murderers Row was number two on the list.
That was the 27 Yankees, right?
Yes.
One forgets about Bob Koenig. Is any player on the team? I don't know.
The Bad Boys.
Oh, fantastic.
No, Bad Boys is basketball.
Why is it got to be baseball only?
Because that's the way they made the list.
How about the Bless You Boys?
Yeah, the Bless You Boys are on the list.
Oh, really?
Yes, they are. Where's my list? Is MLB team nicknames? Well, is this the list I saw today? Yes, this is the list. Okay. I should start from 25, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
I had some real... I got angry reading the list, too. Which is a good sign.
Go ahead. Just read
it. So, it's funny how, some of them are like, I don't remember that name. It couldn't have been that good.
Yeah.
The Nasty Boys, the 1990 Reds.
That was the stupidest nickname I've ever heard.
Dibble.
Dibble, Myers, Norm Charlton. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Yeah. I remember it. You don't remember this, but the 67 Red Sox, the Cardiac Kids.
That was the stupidest nickname I've ever heard.
They were a big comeback team. That was a great team and a great pennant race. The Refuse to Lose, 1995 Mariners.
What? Called them that.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, was this guy making up names?
Stupid name.
Was his list a little thin?
Didn't they win? Do they still hold the record for most wins?
I think so. Didn't they win 116 games?
Oh, I don't know.
Something? Most wins in the regular season,
right? That's a great name.
Or in the modern era?
Well, they refused to lose.
They lost in the championship, the American League championship, didn't they?
They beat the Yankees because that was Mattingly's last.
Yeah,
hurrah.
Mattingly had a good postseason, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
God, I love Mattingly.
You said 95?
Yes. Then here's another one. I just don't remember this. The 2015 Astros. Do you remember this name?
15 Astros. Rocktober? No.
Crush City.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You remember
that?
That's
a great name.
I remember them spouting that off around then.
That's dumb.
Really?
Get out of here.
Yeah, I think he made it up. 1906 White Sox were the hitless wonders. I remember reading about that. Huh. I don't think it's fake. Team batting average of .230.
What?
It is a wonder this team won the AL pennant. But the club's weighted runs created plus mark was actually the third best in the AL. Why doesn't anybody mention this at the time? The boys of Zimmer, the 89 Cubs. What?
Is that when Zimmer...
I'm a Cubs fan and I don't even remember that.
Wait, what year? 89?
89. They were great. That was a Rhino's peak.
Huh.
Rhino and Dawson.
Yeah.
Dawson had a terrible postseason. Damn it. I don't remember the boys of Zimmer.
No.
Then in front of that, they have the boys of Summer. They made that up just to make that cute, putting these two together. 19, the 50 Brooklyn Dodgers. The 1950s Phillies were called the Whiz Kids. I do recall reading about that. Jim Constanti, a season-long reliever, started the first game of the series for the Whiz Kids.
That's a great name.
And I believe he struck out 13 and surprised everyone. But they then lost the series, I believe. Wait a second. What? The 1995 Rockies?
That was Rocktober.
The Blake Street Bombers?
What? No.
What are you talking about? Nobody called them that. You made that up.
That's dumb.
The opening of Coors Field perfectly coincided with a literal rise in the standings of Rockies team that reached the postseason for the first time. Dante Bichette, Vinny Castilla, Andre Scalarraga.
Oh, I loved Dante Bichette.
Yeah. I loved Andre Scalarraga.
Yeah.
And Larry
Denver
Walker.
Denver sucks ass.
All hit over 30 home runs. On that park, anyway. 30.
So wait, are the Bash Brothers going to be on there? That wasn't the name of the team.
It's a team name.
Okay.
The Bronx Zoo, the 78 Yankees. That should be higher.
Mm-hmm.
That was big. Billy Martin feuding with George Steinbrenner. Martin and Thurman Munson feuding with Reggie Jackson. That was when Reggie almost got in a fight with Billy Martin in the dugout.
Yeah.
Because he pulled him from right field in the middle of an inning.
Did he not run after a ball?
I think he misjudged a fly ball or he gave somebody an extra base by, slacking.
Yeah.
Okay. The 2017 Indians. Does anyone remember the Windians?
No.
Who made that up? Who is this guy?
The best freaking team in all the land. Woohoo!
Can't you just have a top 20 list and not make up fake nicknames?
Yeah.
The 1919 White Sox who threw the World Series are...
Black Sox.
The Black Sox.
That should be number one, right?
That's a good one, yeah. The Broad Street Bellies... The 1993 Phillies?
Because of John Kroc.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember anybody calling them that.
Well, I remember the Broad Street Bullies, the Flyers of the mid-70s, but...
Well, that's why. That's dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, bless you, boys, the 84 Tigers. Al Ackerman, sarcastically...
That's a great name.
...sarcastically said, bless you, boys.
What?
When reporting on the Tigers snapping a long losing skid in 1983.
And I remember the Free Press came with an iron-on patch... of a tiger riding a wave, because remember the wave was a big thing?
Yes.
And my mom ironed it on a shirt, and it said, bless you boys, ride the wave, and I wore that fucking shirt all the time.
Did you make her iron it on immediately?
I probably did. I love that shirt. It was so cool. I want one right now.
You should appreciate your mother.
I do.
The Evil Empire, the 2000s Yankees?
Yeah.
Okay. For all of 2000.
The Swinging A's, the 72-74 Athletics, they all had mustaches and
they were kind of. Banged a lot of chicks.
A lot of personality. Yeah,
they banged a lot of chicks.
Women. The Bamba Squad, the 2019 Twins.
Yeah, because I heard that last year because they broke some record for home runs. They were killing it.
Yeah, they hit 307. That's a single season home run record. You know, and. The funny thing is, now, who's the second baseman on that team that hit all the home runs? Was he on the team that
Chuck
year?
Chuck Knobloch?
No. Not Knobloch.
I'm just kidding.
The second baseman hit 40 bombs.
Yeah. Not Byron.
Well, I'm thinking of Dozier, but he's not there anymore.
Dozier, yeah. I was trying to think of who hit all those home runs in 2019, because I don't remember, like, the two guys hit 40.
No, they had...
It seemed like everybody had 15.
They had that rookie kid, that Mitch Garver catcher who hit over 30 bombs.
Who's that dude?
I know that... Sano came back. Rosario was really good.
Right. Ruruto.
I'm missing somebody big. The Tigers just got him. CJ Crone.
You said the 2019?
Right. Yeah, 2019 Twins.
Yeah, Garver had 31 home runs. Crone, 25. Shoop. Jonathan Shoop, is that your
name? And of course, Nelson Cruz.
23.
Nelson Cruz. How many he hit?
Jorge 40. Polanco, 22. Sano, 34. Rosario, 32.
Oh, my God.
Max Kepler at 36.
Holy shit! Is Max Kepler the third baseman?
Right field. That's insane.
Wait, Nelson Cruz hit 40 home runs in 2019?
41.
That's insane.
That's unbelievable. How old is Nelson Cruz?
Does Nelson Cruz have over 700 home runs?
He must. Well, he's got about 700 against the Tigers in one series.
He's a 400 home run guy. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, I knew he had to be up there.
Wow.
But. Number eight is the Go-Go Sox, the 1959 White Sox. They were, Louis Aparicio used to lead the league in stolen bases every year, and they were a big, that was a light-hitting team, too. Number seven, I kind of feel like this one ought to be higher, because I thought it was cool, and this team had so many characters. The 1934 St. Louis Cardinals. A gas house is a factory that turned coal to gas for lighting and cooking, and the foul-smelling plants were deemed an accurate descriptor of a Cardinals club that wore, per the description of New York Sun, stained and dirty and patched and ill-fitting uniforms while employing an aggressive style on the field. It applied generally to the Cardinals of the 30s, but most specifically to the 34 team, who was labeled the Gas House Gang. Mm. Number six, the Tigers, the family from 1979. We are family.
The Tigers?
The Pirates. Pirates. Stargell and Parker.
Stargell, Parker, yeah.
Kent Tucholvy coming out of the pen.
That was a guy I thought. John Candelaria, the left-hander. Bert Blyleven was also in
there. Used to have a Kent Tucholvy baseball card on my fridge for no reason other than it looked fucking cool. Because
crazy hats.
It was like a painter's hat. Yeah. And then he had dark shades while pitching on the mound.
He wore sunglasses. He was so cool.
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
This one's a great nickname. Harvey's Wallbangers, the 82 Brewers.
Yeah. George Vukovich, was he on that team?
Yeah, I think George Vukovich
Robin
was.
Yelt.
Wait, was
Molitor.
Was Larry Sorensen on that team? Is that possible?
Really?
Was, I don't know, maybe I'm probably wrong. Number four would be the Idiots, the 2004 Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. Great.
That doesn't seem like number four.
I don't remember it, but yeah.
Johnny Damon gave himself that.
Neat.
Yeah. No, I remember it. I just didn't think it would be out of the Gas House game. 1969, the amazing Mets, the team I hated more than anyone. They made me cry.
Aren't they the Miracle Mets?
Well, yeah, they were called the Miracle Mets and the Amazing Mets. And they got to the World Series in 73, too, with a lot of the same guys. Mets rallied from 10 back of the Cubs in mid-August. Oh, boy, that hurt. I was 9 years old, and I was so into it.
Cried. Yeah.
I think my sisters and I stood at the bank for a while to get Randy Hundley's autograph.
Did he blow you off?
No, he was nice. Number two, Murderers Row, the 1927 Yankees.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at those baseball cards of Kent Tekulve. Look at that bad motherfucker, man.
Yeah, he's pretty badass.
You said that's number two, Drew?
That's number two.
All right, then number one, we all know what number one is.
The Big Red Machine of the 70s. You know, it's funny, that Randy Hundley thing, I think I committed every word that was spoken between me and Randy Hundley to memory.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for a while.
Hey, Mr. Hundley, get the fuck out of my way, kid. I just want an autograph. Oh, God damn it.
I remember that distinctly southern accent of that man, Randy Hundley, from Bassett, Virginia. There's another list today of the top 10 Tigers the last 15 years, which, of course, if you go back 15 years, the 2006 starts. They had a good stretch.
Yeah.
And number 10, I couldn't believe Pat Caputo, the book, made this a tie, but he did. J.D. Martinez and Doug Fister. Can you compare? I can't. I love Fister.
Well, Fister, but how he came in. And
yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah, I would say J.D. overall.
Yeah, I would say, too. I mean, he was a starter, and he hit a lot of bombs for what, 5-6 years? Placido Polanco, number 9.
Love them. Mr. Peanut.
He's a big part of that team. Carlos Guillen at number 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Victor Martinez at number 7. Curtis Granderson at number 6. Sometimes I think Curtis Granderson, do we love him too much for his 23 triples? Why can no one talk about it? You can't utter a paragraph about Curtis Granderson and not mention his 23 triples.
Yeah.
And he had an amazing year. He had like 20-20-20. Wasn't he a 20-20-20 guy?
38-23-23 and 33 steal. No, 26 steal. That's crazy. How many people have ever done that?
I know. It's a rare achievement. And he was incredible.
And 33 steal.
Wait, who else would have done that many?
20 triples is the
20
part.
Triples.
The 20 triples. Like, I think Willie Mays might have had 20 triples once. I can't remember anyone that got 20 triples. Number five is
I'm gonna be absorbed in figuring this answer out.
Number five is Mags, who of course the original name of the dog Mags, Maglio Ordonez.
Willie in 57, 26 double, 30 triples, 35 home runs, and 38 steal.
Mags got here in 2005 and played half the season, and then 2006, of course, he had the big home run. 2007, he had one of the greatest years of any Tiger ever, winning the batting title, 363 without any infield hits, 139 ribbies.
It's crazy. Whatever happened to that guy?
Mags? I don't know where Mags is.
Isn't he like a politician in Venezuela?
I think you're right about that. All I know is I miss the dog Mags.
Yeah.
Rest in
peace. I don't know why I think about Mags almost every day. I don't know why. Number four, they really get in your heart. Ivan Rodriguez ahead of Mags?
Well, I remember Pudge really started the movement, right?
Yeah.
Getting guys to come.
I know he's important, but
I
don't know.
His first
year was amazing. That first year in 2005.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Brandon?
Well, I was going to ask you, this is the last, I thought you said the last 10 years.
15 years. Top 10, last 15. Number three, Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
And then, who's number two and who is number one?
It's got to be Verlander to Maglio, Miguel 1.
Just because of the Triple Crown and the MVPs.
Yeah.
And you would be incorrect.
What? No.
He puts Miggy 2 and JV 1.
You're incorrect.
That's what makes him the book. JV has a higher War. Oh, Higher War, and was part of the 2006 team that Miggy was not. I don't know if I agree with that, but they're both fantastic. Miggy, by the way, yesterday donated $250,000 to Detroit's Children's Charities, and immediately I went down to the comments. Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait to read the comments for this.
His other kids in Florida?
Yeah, why didn't he donate dollars to his Miami kids community? And then that was Brandon's comment, actually, I think, wasn't it?
Was it really?
Did you say that, Brandon?
I don't think I did.
You didn't? Okay. And then somebody says, making 30 mil, donates 250,000. What a pile of work. 12 home runs? Question mark. Wait, why is there a question mark? 12 home runs?
That's funny.
12 home runs? And I did the math on this. Okay, $250,000 is 1/20th of his salary. So if you're making $100,000, how much would that be? Because I was trying to think, is that really a big donation for him? It's a lot of money.
It's 1/20th of his salary?
1/120th.
1/120th.
Yeah, because 250 is 1 out of 4, and then times 30.
1/1/1/1/1/1.
Let me do
Wait, so not 5%. You're saying less than that? I'm so confused.
$250,000 is 1/120th. It's less than 1% of his salary.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be about, it's about 8, I don't know,
watch this
85 charts. Cents.
Hey, Siri, what is 1/120th of 100,000?
It's going to be $800 and something.
What? Siri, you're the worst.
I hate it when Siri fucks
she
up.
Never does she ever get anything right?
No.
You want to know the answer to the 2020-2020 club?
Is it Willie Mays?
Well, Willie Mays was one. Granderson, someone did it the same year Granderson did it in 2007.
What?
Phillies?
Oh, Jimmy Rollins.
Jimmy Rollins.
Okay, the answer is $830. If you're making $100,000, Miggy's donation would be like donating $830. That's a lot of money.
He still did it.
For a guy making 100 grand.
And then Willie Mays, and then somebody named Frank Schulte of the Cubs in 1911.
Wow. That's not pretty rare.
I know that guy.
Rhino almost did it in 84.
Oh, that's right. He had 19 triples that year.
Yeah, 19 home runs.
And he 84
RBIs.
Stupid.
He had 314, and I think he had a lot of stolen bases, too. Did he have 54?
32 steals.
Oh, damn it.
George Brett almost did it. He was 3 steals short.
He had 20 triples?
Yeah, 23 home runs, 20 triples, shit. 42 doubles. 42 doubles.
What is 2 double?
And 30 and he shit his pants.
And he shit his pants. He had a nice double taper. One of the best stories ever told.
While on the sports list thing, I'll throw this in there. This guy did a list of the top 100 NFL players.
Yeah, currently?
Yes. Guess which line is the only line to make the team? Darius Slay at 96.
So
no
bad.
Stafford, no anybody.
He ain't even a Lion anymore. Wow.
And a couple of things, too, on the dance. Reinsdorf has come out to say he's not pleased with Michael's comments. And this part.
Is it going to be the part about signing him to one more year to go after number 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can he see said, not being pleased with that.
I couldn't see that because it's so obviously a mistake. When you win 6 championships in 8 years, you've won 3 in a row. Nobody wins 4 in a row. Nobody wins 4 in a row in any sport anymore. The Islanders did it in the early 80s. I would think you would want to find out. Why not? One more time. You can't let a defending champion just be dismantled like that. I didn't think. People have done that. But
no,
I don't agree with
it. Very stupid.
Because that was such a great team. And if Michael's in... And for all you need for Michael to be in is Phil Jackson. And when they said, here go 82-0 and he's not coming back. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Are you fucking crazy? So Reinsdorf suggested that Michael did say that, you know, looking at the roster and finances and all that, I don't believe we can put a championship team together.
Yeah. Well, he
Michael
kinda,
Jordan. Now, Jordan can you see Michael Jordan not believing the competitive Michael Jordan? Don't you think
not.
He would believe it could be done?
But he did seem, at least in the last dance, to say that Scotty wouldn't have been there no matter what.
Scotty might not have been there, but that, then you replace him.
I just think that's easy for him to say now. I mean, I know he's Jesus well, Jordan, but
no, I think Jordan is just saying I would like to have tried for a 7th.
Oh.
Especially a 4th in a row. That's the one
he
that
could have gone for 4 in a row.
I know.
won that next year?
Lakers, right?
Lakers, did the Lakers win it?
Yeah.
98-99?
No, that must have, no, San Antonio. Then, that was David Robinson and what's his butt's first year?
Duncan.
Tim Duncan's first year, right?
And that was a great team. But I don't know how Jerry Reinsdorf could watch 10 hours of that and think that Michael Jordan would not be in if they had said, look, we're bringing Phil back. We got to give this another shot. He's so competitive. I can't believe that he would have said no. But, you know.
Yeah, it was Spurs over Knicks and then the Lakers three-peat.
See, nobody likes this thing. It seems that no one likes this Jordan thing who was involved with the Bulls for one reason or another.
Well, it's because it's Jordan's story.
But Jordan is such an incredible single. I mean, he's such a unique guy in the history of sports.
Gatorade.
We really want his view.
Yeah.
Don't we? Wasn't the idea was to give you his view of the 10 years? And there's a lot. You know, it was not edited by Michael Jordan. He did not edit that. He did not say,
I want to do a documentary on Steve Kerr in the middle of this episode.
That would have taken him forever just to get the voiceovers done.
Nope. We got to talk about Steve Kerr's father.
So ESPN announced today their new multi-part documentary.
On Tom Brady?
Yeah, you saw that?
I'd love to see that. I'll watch it.
Isn't that terribly intriguing? The early stuff, maybe.
I think maybe you wait a few more years. I'd rather wait until he's retired for a couple years and look back.
Did you see the trailer?
No, I didn't.
You want to hear it?
Sure.
I don't know if it's... I have no idea what it sounds like. So. There's Tom as the little boy.
Realizing my potential has been what my career has been all about. Things that I've dreamed about have actually come true.
Super Bowl 36. Unbelievable.
Things have happened in my life as I kind of hoped they would happen.
We should get to see Ryan Flugner in this.
I mean, just a complete evolution. You know, how I just kept kind of fighting and clawing to continue to.
Why is he dreamweavering me already?
Because he's not that exciting of a person.
Well,
we call
Jordan.
Him Young Tom Brady. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Dog meter.
Trying to make progress.
He does talk
when I look
in
over
cliche.
Years, I look how far.
Cubic man.
There's not one step that I took where I really.
Whatever. Tom.
I was surprised.
Cubic man.
Honestly, that Jordan was as honest as he was. Like when he says,
"Yeah, when he said about Dan Marley, that was into Dan Marley. I'm going after him."
Cubic man, 85 foot.
You know, the Tony Kukoc thing, and Horace Grant's all mad about it.
Yeah, why? I saw that he was, but I didn't see what he said. What was he pissed off about?
Oh, he said that Michael always got the last word.
Yeah, because he's fucking Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and it's a documentary about him, he was interviewed for 9 years.
Where's the 8-part Horace Grant documentary?
I know, nobody would watch it. He also said he's pissed because he got blamed for saying all that stuff in the Stan Smith book.
Oh, the Jordan rules?
Which is not just Jordan. Everyone seems to think that he's the guy that Stan Smith talked to. And he called him a snitch. Well, God. He did snitch on himself, though. I mean, he said, you know, he even made it sound like he was kind of a, you know, a dumb rookie.
I liked Horace.
He didn't name names. You know, obviously, you know, some people are going to like Scottie Pippen is, I guess, all pissed off about it.
Give me a break.
And meanwhile, Dennis Rodman doesn't give a fuck.
No. Will you Google?
Dennis probably doesn't even know that it aired.
hey, Brandon, will you Google Scottie Pippen mad about Jordan Last Dance? And
I've already seen that he's livid. Yeah.
I just want to know specifically what he's mad about.
Well, because he sat when Kukoc made the shot.
I think he's livid at his the portrayal of him. You know, because we learn about the migraine, we learn about his tummy ache, we learn about. His back hurting. We learned about him sitting on the bench, you know, not coming out when Kukoc made that shot. So this is according to The Guardian. Scottie Pippen has reportedly joined a growing chorus of former Bulls to take issue with Jordan. He is a Hall of Famer and a 6-time NBA champion, but he is beyond livid with his portrayal in the 10-part docuseries. He was so angry at Michael and how he was portrayed. He was called selfish, called this, called that. He's furious that he's participated in it.
I think he's really, he is piling on himself in a way. Because
piling on himself.
Everything that was said, those things happened.
Yeah.
And He was so
that
lame.
Really pissed him off.
And honestly, when he said,
as far as the 1.8 seconds of Nick's, I wish I didn't have to remember it. I wish it would go away, but I can't, and I can't say I wouldn't do it again.
You made Bill Cartwright cry. Good job, Pippin.
When he says, I can't say I wouldn't do it again, it's like, what? Are you out of your mind?
Wait, he said he would do it again.
He said, I can't say I wouldn't do it again, which means, yeah, I would. What else did he say, Brandon?
That's pretty much it. And then it follows up with Horace Grant saying that a lot of it is BS, and he made it up. So, I mean, I can understand, because everybody in one way, shape, or form
I heard you get out of your chair so you could direct your anus at the microphone.
Oh, that is going to be a mess. There's going to be a spot on that chair.
Do you have a mask on your ass?
No.
Oh, should we call that strip club?
Sure.
Hey, you want to hear a boner line, too?
Oh, my God.
Yes. The boner line. Did you have any calls, Brandon?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm glad that I asked for some submissions, because I did get bombarded. I think I got 70 calls that after that day. Good. I asked for some.
Okay. Oh, did you get up at 2 to start? 2 a.m. in the morning to start it? Because you got so many calls. Start at 2 a.m. instead of 2:30.
I didn't start at 2 a.m., but I finished last night around 1 a.m.
What?
209-66-BONER. That's 209-66-BONER. Do you guys use the ML? Do you get texts on that?
No, we haven't been getting many calls.
Really?
But people can call us.
Yeah, people want to fire up ML, 313-288-9070.
Yep.
I haven't heard his new show. What's his show on this week?
Oh, my gosh. It's all over the place. It might be the longest one he's ever done. No guests. But a lot of times he's very mad about the masks situation, so we talk about that. But he does get
What's he mad about?
Just wear one.
Oh.
Just wear. He's really
mad. He doesn't
mad.
Want people to not wear one?
What do you mean?
I mean, he's mad at people that won't wear a mask?
Kind of, yeah. When people are just can you just take one for the team? So we kind of get into it a little bit about that.
I kind of feel that way. But on the other hand, I'm the more this goes on, the more I understand the mask and the not mask and what it has more meaning than just a mask. But I just don't want people yelling at security guards and shooting security guards over a stupid mask. It's not.
I remember he just got done covering the last rally up there, so I think he's kind of worn out from that, dealing with that. But he gave a lot of good background information, because he wrote a big story on Gabe Leland. That whole bribery scandal with Bob Carmack is still
going
on.
See, I kind of thought the whole show might be about that.
Yeah, there was a good.
But he got into that.
It. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I like the show.
I thought it was a pretty good show. It went by really quick, and then we talked a little bit more about Michael Jordan, because Sean wrote about him again.
So, I see.
That was good.
Let's see. And the No Filter line. Do you guys use the calls from No Filter? You do, don't you?
Mainly what happens is we get a lot of texts on the 760-89-BALLS phone number. Get it balls because it's sport.
Yes.
Get it. And we get a lot of texts on there. Every once in a while we do get calls. And normally I just kind of print them out and have the guys read them instead of actually airing the voices and stuff like that.
I tell you, I was very jealous of No Filter Sports today, because I was listening to it. We're having a problem with something when we have four people. Someone sounds bad. And it seems usually it's Trudy.
She's not here. It's always Trudy.
It does seem to always be Trudy. And the Red Shovel Network has invested in a lot of equipment to try and improve on it.
Yeah. Three mics.
Another huge investment.
Why don't I have sound?
By the Red Shovel Network. But No Filter sounded so good. And I'm like, why does everyone in that show sound good? And we always have somebody sounding goofy.
You know who amazingly always sounds good in all the shows is Sean.
Yeah, Sean sounds good.
And he's just sitting in like a little garage, just chilling on a couch with his, the Apple headphones.
He looked very chill.
Yeah. Honestly, I laugh very hard every week on Tuesday when he joins the Zoom meeting, because he always looks exactly the same. And he's just like, all right, let's do it.
He's very nonplussed.
Yes, I love the guy.
Sean Nonplussed Windsor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what else? Karen, who it seemed like there was problems with her, she sounded good on No BS News.
Yeah, yeah, so.
So, yeah.
A lot of stuff.
I'm just trying. We're trying to figure this out, because every time I hear that Skype-ish sound or that drop a, it makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. Especially if I hear another show that doesn't have it, like No Filter Sports. That sounded great. Well, normally we sound pretty damn good.
It's been a work in progress, trust me. I mean, it's been kind of difficult getting those guys, getting those going. But they've had some great interviews lately. Tom Brookins today, Jimmy Carson, the Red Wing.
Oh, Jimmy Carson, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, Jim Abbott was phenomenal last week. What's Brookins doing? Bill Spaceman Lee's always funny. So these guys have been getting tons and tons of interviews lately, and it's just been a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well, actually. And I have to say, they put up a donation bar, and they got a lot of donations the first, I mean, not a ton, but they didn't talk about it, and they got some donations. I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, man.
People, maybe they won't be in arrears anymore to
the people.
To Brandon. What?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Who said that?
Yeah, some people said there may have been some payroll issues on the No Filter Sports Broadcast.
free labor for a while.
That may have been why they started the donation bar. But, I mean, when people submit to a donation bar, they're telling you they really like the damn show and they want it to stay. And they actually, you know, coronavirus, oh my God, it is so. I talked to my friend at Radio Inc., who said that radio revenue just got smoked. Yeah. Smoked in April, a little better in May.
But 98% of the public listens to radio at least once in a decade.
That's just like last year. They might listen to it just once, but 98% listen to it once. So podcasting has been whacked, too.
Oh, yeah.
We've been really fortunate, but, you know, No Filter isn't as big a show as us. They're not on 5 days a week. They're on 2 days a week. Those guys put a lot into that show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to get new advertisers now or replace people who are shut down. And it's just tough.
Tough.
I know.
Tough. So that boner line.
Yeah, the boner line. Wait, is brought to you by our friends. Very good friends at Manscaped. I think you guys know all about Manscaped. Yeah. I shouldn't have to tell you too much. You really should get 20% off and free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code Drew. And, of course, they've got the Lawnmower 3.0. It is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes. If you want to shave your balls for 90 minutes.
Oh, my God. Who doesn't?
You
Some
can
people
do it
have to.
Every time. So you can take a longer shave. The water resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower too. Or if you're going away for the weekend and you shave your balls every day,
yes,
you've got 90 minutes to shave.
That's
you know,
a good point.
If you need 30 minutes a day and you're going on a 3-day trip, you're good.
Yep.
The water resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower too, and that LED light that people just love, so they can really take a good look, illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. That's manscaped.com. Use promo code Drew, and they sponsor the boner line.
Hey, Drew, Mark, Brandon, Trudy.
Hi.
Hey, I'm calling because Brandon put out the feeler for anyone to call if anything pops up in their head.
Yeah, Brandon, you needed some calls. So here's one.
Brandon said to call the boner line. I thought I'd call the boner line.
Thank you.
Wah, I'm not getting enough calls on the fucking boner line.
Stop crying.
I heard you put out the bat signal today that you needed more calls on the boner line. I don't know why I do this. I never get on the boner.
Wrong.
Brandon, you just hurt my feelings, man. I called, I think, 5 times last week. You didn't use one boner message.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I think Brandon is getting lazy and deleting people so he doesn't have to do it. I mean, I know I've called a bunch of times and I never get on. Fucking asshole.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Hey, Brandon, you fucker. Nice complaining about calls to the boner line. I've called like half a dozen times and haven't heard one of them.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I got to say, this Manscaped razor has got my eggs shiniest they've ever been.
Congratulations.
The wife is a big fan.
Oh, my God. Those balls are as smooth as eggs.
Yeah, I had a question about using my Manscaped lawnmower trimmer. I got to be thinking that maybe Mark and Brandon could do a little tutorial on Facebook Live, educate us on how to properly use it. Trimmer pubes, ball sacks, etc.
You want to see my balls?
Make for good information. You know, gives a chance to check them out and see what their bodies are really like.
Like my body?
I've heard that Brandon's got a small boner.
That is correct.
WJR. They have to have all those sponsors because I've never seen a guy travel so much everywhere. One day he's at the Germany Auto Show. Next day he's up at Mackinac Island. He travels on their time like you wouldn't believe. This is why they have to have so many commercials.
Oh, well, excuse me for being a fucking businessman.
You got an audio separated at birth, the Paul W. Smith on WJR, and the guy on Family Guy talking about seven slippery seals.
Seven Saudi soldiers sodomized several of Saddam's southern settlements.
The whistles got woo!
1 hour, 28 minutes in, May 18th show, Brandon separated at birth with Bezos's boil over. Check it out.
No, and that's, you know, a treaty. At one point, I'd fallen asleep so many times. I thought, at one point,
spill it.
Possible separated at birth. The sheriff talking about empty jail cells for the go topless Jeep hoop-de-doo weekend. And Doyle from Sling Blade.
But when you start acting silly, we've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
You've been drinking as long as me, you build up a tolerance.
Audio separated at birth, Nancy Pelosi saying children, and Michael Jackson saying children.
Children. For the children. For the children.
And Jesus said to love the children and be like children. With children.
I got my order of Death Wish coffee. That stuff is awesome. It makes you feel like you're on Flocka. I also noticed, yes, though, it makes you take the monster dump.
That's
good. I want a forensic accountant on Drew's basic requirement for him to watch a movie as whether or not it has electricity. He says he's never seen The Matrix. The whole movie is about humans being converted into electricity.
Spoiler alert.
Drew's so bored at home. He's watched everything. But yeah, he doesn't understand the blue pill and the red pill from The Matrix. Dude, see The Matrix.
Morpheus.
I want to see that movie. I want to see that.
You know, maybe we've been saying Michael Jordan's name wrong this whole time. Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson both say Michael. Maybe that's how you say it.
Michael Jordan looked forward to the challenge just by Michael Jordan being in charge. You know, maybe Michael Jordan is not the ingredient that may turn this team around. But then again, Michael Jordan may be.
Gatorade.
Drew, read the room, dude, as you're talking about Magic appearing on The Last Dance. You said, oh my God, he's so positive.
He's got AIDS.
I haven't heard you guys talk about Mitch Albom's new pamphlet.
Hey, Mitch!
I.e., or, you know, could be a book, I don't know, about the coronavirus called The Human Touch.
That's a great name.
About families that live on the corner, and they, it's an eight-year-old boy that saves the world, or some shit, I don't know what the hell it is.
A really very successful book. I wrote 12 books. All did very well.
Who cares?
And that's it for
Bravo,
the
day. Bravo, bravo. Yeah, Mitch is writing a book in real time.
He always protects himself by writing about something that you can't really criticize someone for.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows he has to
it's
do that.
Pretty brilliant of him.
Yeah, it is. It's gotten to that point. Today, by the way, I came up with another great idea. Like, if you remember my great idea of yesteryear, I wanted to nominate couples for the country to vote on every year.
Yeah.
That we would vote, and if we vote, they have to be divorced. And we would pick, I think I did three couples every year, sure, where we automatically divorced them. And I think it was because someone kept calling 911 because they're fighting all the time.
Yeah.
They're having fights in public. And it's like, no, there should be a law to divorce them. And then I thought, got the idea that what if the country voted? And then, you know, it might be people that really shouldn't be married, like OJ and Nicole, we would have voted them apart.
Yep.
And it could be someone too that it's a couple that we all hate, but they're really happy together, so we just want to divorce them.
Yeah,
I mean, we could have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, like Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
John Legend,
was that
exactly
where it came from? We're trying to think of the origin of it. This guy, maybe it was them.
I couldn't remember which couple it was. It was it was way back, though.
I know we wanted to vote too on two people that had to get it on.
Yeah, Gaga and Cooper.
Yeah, but then we knew people would bastardize that and make it like Trump and Pelosi.
But that's the cool part about it.
And it's on pay per view.
And, you know, when you get the nominations, then, you know, people could campaign
Nancy,
against them. Like Pelosi could cry at a press conference. I don't want to get it on with Donald Trump. It'll destroy me.
And then she'll end up having an orgasm. And she won't know what to think.
That'd be cool, too, if the sex had to be televised.
Yeah. And it was really good. And it turns out being really good for two bad people.
So I have to extend the idea. Every year, I want the country to vote to neuter 5 or 10 men. I don't know how many.
Oh, okay.
We can campaign for them. I mean, we'll get a nomination list.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, It'd be fun. As long as it's not your balls they're talking about, I think we'll be very happy. And this would be national-type people who we just are tired of hearing about. And we could put chicks in there, too. I don't know how. It sounds horrible when you say it's a chick.
I'm going to start with John Legend.
I'm in. That wasn't what inspired it. But, you know, I was thinking, like, for nominations, there could be, you know, like 10 guys, 5 girls, sort of like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where there's less women, you know.
Yeah.
Because it seems meaner if it's women. I don't know why, and I don't even know what we do to them. But then we campaign for testicular removal for the celebs that we don't want reproducing or even having sex anymore because they just can't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
It's too much for them.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, Pete Davidson, that'd great idea. One, right? Yeah, he'd be so much better off without testicles, and we'd feel better, and we wouldn't have to hear about him. That's a great nomination.
It's a win-win all around.
That wasn't who inspired it. It was inspired by Aaron Carter, who cannot handle being in a relationship. He can't. It's a disaster for everyone, and we always have to hear about it. It's tiring. It's exhausting. I mean, how many times, can you imagine the millions of times people roll their eyes when they hear the latest Aaron Carter news?
Oh,
you know. This relationship is doomed. You know it is. So just as an example, I was trying to figure out today, and it's you can't do it. If somebody can do it, I'd love to hear the answer. How many 911 calls have been caused by Aaron Carter's relationships? I found around 30 of them, and I believe there were 6 women or 5 women. Because there was like 8 calls involving one woman,
really?
One girlfriend. Yeah, she calls all the – it's her too. It's not him.
Well, we knew
it's usually other people, but I want his balls removed.
I remember the one time they had to show up because he was asleep on Instagram Live.
That was a wellness check, I think.
Yeah,
he had all those wellness checks, too.
He fell asleep on Instagram Live, so people called the cops.
You know, if you think about it, if the 911 were a national network, and, you know, we always hear how Detroit that, they put you on hold and stuff. Well, if we eliminated Aaron Carter's balls, nobody put on hold on 911.
Could Aaron Carter maybe get, like, Meghan Markle's security, and then we'll just post that guy's phone number anytime there's trouble, just call that guy and let him just deal with it?
He should be required to have security, but I want to do this. I want to neuter people every year, and I want the country to vote, and I know we'll do the right thing. Just the latest on Aaron Carter, just in case you think, oh, is he out of his mind? Okay, here's the latest with Aaron Carter. He announced that he had gotten Melanie, his latest pregnant, he has a tattoo over his eye, Melanie, that they were expecting. She's with child. We're so happy. I'm going to have my first baby. And what a great little family we're going to have.
Beautiful family.
And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a 911 call. And boom, he announces that they're divorced. And 8 hours later, he announces on social media his new girlfriend is Victoria. Now, how can you impregnate someone, be so happy about having a child together, and you break up and 8 hours later you've got this new girlfriend?
I wonder if she was the reason of the breakup, the new girlfriend? It almost seems like she had been around.
That could have been part of it.
She had to have been around, right?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I don't think he's an on-deck circle for his next piece of ass.
I don't know. He could have just gone out and met somebody.
But what a concept. What if everybody had an on-deck circle for their next... Don't you love that? And she's got her knee on the ground with a bat over it.
Yeah, she's practicing, stretching.
Shaking cuts.
Stretching in all the right places.
Doing pelvic thrusts and stuff.
Yeah, or she's just working out just to be in great shape to get hotter for you.
Instead of a donut, there's a vibrator. She can warm up and be ready.
So the beautiful thing about Aaron and his child is that he and Melanie had that private thing where you could pay $20 a month and watch them fuck. You may have seen him create this baby.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But then, you know, then it all falls apart so fast. And not only does he have a new girlfriend 8 hours in, she is making lesbian porn. His pregnant ex is making lesbian porn while he's with the new girl.
How many months pregnant?
I think just a couple. But, I mean, this is the kind of insanity. We don't need it. We need to shut it down.
That's when there's too much internet.
there is.
Much internet is when Aaron Carter, it's the brother of one of the least famous Backstreet Boys ex-girlfriend.
He had a hit when he was like 9 years old.
But not really.
And we're still dealing with him.
That's how many steps, and that's on the internet.
I mean, isn't it comical when you think of how much noise pollution Aaron Carter's created since that stupid song? And then wasn't there a song with Shaq or something?
Yes, that time I dunked on Shaq. Right.
I mean, that's child stuff. That's kids stuff.
Does Shaq know? Does he know how to say no? Because I feel like he does too many things too.
So he hasn't had a hit record as an adult. In fact, he hasn't even had a hit record as a teenager, I don't think. And yet, he's got a zillion followers on social media. They're all stupid. I mean, how moronic do you have to be to pay $20 to watch Aaron Carter fuck?
Well, wait. Oh, wow.
I mean, there's Pornhub.
Maybe Rick will be on there soon with him.
I know. Rick has added such a new element to Aaron Carter.
So weird.
This is ridiculous. Start the game, the whistle blows. He does concerts and like 100 people go. And he charges all this money to meet him backstage.
Yeah.
Like $200 because he needs the money.
It's really, well, yeah, because he's spending $60 on steaks. $60 a steak.
That's right. And
I
also,
still never understood that.
If you go on the internet, you can find this. Apparently, every now and again, Aaron says, hey, I got new Aaron Carter hoodies for sale.
Really?
And people buy them, but they don't get the hoodies.
Oh, wait. You can do that?
Yeah. Well, when he needs to scare up a little money.
Why don't we start selling merch that way?
I think he means to make the hoodies, but I think what happens is he needs the money,
yeah.
And so he just goes, yeah, we're going to fuck on camera. $20 if you want to be in this club.
He's an idea man.
He is, but he needs to be deballed. He needs his balls taken away. He needs to be limp for life, and it'll make his life so much better.
He was
so
the
much
most,
easier.
He was the most successful artist when he didn't have his testicles to send.
You're
right.
So no, that's right. It might give him a hit record.
Maybe get his voice back. You should like this song. It's called The Clapping Song. Isn't that guitar? That guitar sounds so fake.
Sounds like a number one tune already.
Stupid.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
Okay, so you know, never did mention it. Lori Loughlin.
Oh yeah,
pleaded guilty.
I can't believe she got off with a slap on the wrist, man.
You know, this is really funny because I was watching the coverage of this, and there was some commentary like, she faced 40 years in prison, which has been amusing me to no end.
Yeah,
that
we wanted,
you know,
her
because you tried to bribe someone to get your brat in college. You face 40 years. And I watch true crime all the time, and you'll see somebody commit the most grisly murder and get 14 years.
Because she
and wrote, serve 10.
Because she wrote it off. $500,000. That's why.
It's just so funny. And I really was hoping she'd get the 40 years. I was happy because I was so tired. But how? Can this go on and on and on? And it's in the news every third day that this happened and that happened. No, she bribed a college to get two brats in. It should have been done in 3 days.
Yep.
Why did it take 15 months?
That's right. Lock her up.
And why did the country hang on every stupid detail?
That's funny. It's fucking Aunt Becky. It's not even a real big
fucking
star.
It's nothing.
Oh, but and it is Mossimo.
I think she's legally changed her name to the lady who bribed USC. And the daughters are the brat that hated school, that brat that hated college, and the ugly sister of the brat that hated college. And so they were fined $400,000 together. He got 5 months and she got two. So yeah. Mossimo.
Because he wrote the check. Because, you know, his cool autograph that's on all his clothes. Yeah, I must sign every check. It is my logo.
I wonder if he took the responsibility for taking it off his income tax too as a charitable donation or something.
Maybe $250,000 fine for him, $150,000 for her. She has to do 100 hours of community service. Which, just be ready for all the photos of her doing her community service.
I can't wait.
And he had to do 250 hours of community service as well. 5 months. Do they get to serve time at the same time or
concurrently?
Yeah, or is she going to be in for 2 months and then he's in for
five? No.
They've got daughters who are only 19 and 21 and need help with everything, so they can't possibly have both parents in there at once. Yeah.
I think is going to happen is that she's going to go in, Mossimo's going to go in, and they're going to be out in a fucking week because coronavirus.
That's a good point.
I know.
Or like when Andy Dick spent 1 day in jail because of overcrowding.
I mean, we just saw Michael Cohen get out today. I mean, they just keep getting out.
You know,
I think you're right, Brandon.
I got to tell you how dumb this is. Billy McFarlane, who I don't want to get out. I don't want him out. But of course, he immediately, coronavirus, I've got to be out of here. And the judge said no.
Yeah.
And like 2 days after that, Takashi, who commits armed robberies and assaults underage girls.
Better lawyer.
He gets out. Oh, he's got asthma. It's terrible. It's so bad.
You know the difference.
And the next
right?
day they're like, Judge, can we shoot videos for his new hit record at his house? Oh, yeah, of course.
The difference is 6ix9ine has money to pay a really good lawyer, and yeah. Billy McFarland doesn't pay anybody anything.
And he's been ordered to pay back like $250 million.
So he's got shitty lawyers.
So ridiculous. Then let's see. What else? I'm trying to avoid Trump till the last minute.
There is breaking Trump news that just came across.
Oh, what happened?
So this happened before his speech today. This is him back.
Mr. President, there was a lot of interest about whether you would end up wearing a mask today. Yeah. Could you just take us through?
Because really, this whole trip is about will a Trump mask. Wear a mask when he's supposed to wear a mask and where he's supposed to wear a mask.
And how utterly stupid. Fucking stupid.
Isn't
really?
That stupid? I mean,
he gets tested every day.
Okay.
I mean,
he's also around people that have tested positive.
I don't think it would hurt him to wear a mask. No. I mean, I really don't think it's that big a deal. But I also don't think it's that big a deal if he doesn't wear a mask because he's tested.
Yeah.
So why he decided not to wear a mask?
Well, I did wear. I had one on before. I wore one in this back area, but I didn't want to give the press the pleasure of seeing it. But no, where I had it in the back area, I did.
Now, remember before the show, you and I were talking about this. I said he's going to say that he wore one backstage, right?
You did say that. Yeah. You called it.
So here's
the mask.
Did you have the goggles on too as well, sir?
I did. I had goggles. Goggles and a mask. Right
there. But why would you not be
wearing it? And here's another one.
Why would you not be wearing it? For
he's got a mask. He's handing it to the reporter.
Why would you not be wearing it here, sir?
Not necessary here. Well, everybody's been tested and I've been tested. In fact, I was tested this morning. But so it's not necessary.
But the executives are wearing them.
Well, that's their choice. I was given a choice, and I had one on in an area where they preferred it. So I put it on, and it was very nice. It looked very nice. But they said not necessary. Yeah, please.
What about the example?
Okay, so do you think he really wore a mask backstage or no?
I'm sure someone will tell us, because I'm sure they will interview everyone. Somebody will find every person that was in that room, and if they can't find him, they'll chase him to the end of the earth to find out if he was wearing a mask.
You have to wear a mask every time you go out.
He didn't want to give the media the satisfaction of catching him in a mask.
Guess so.
Guess what? They caught him in a mask.
No!
See him? And it looks fine. It looks totally fine. I don't know what the problem
is. You know what's funny? He does look really stupid with a mask.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
well, I mean, as stupid as anybody.
Everybody
looks.
Does.
I
know,
but it's a blue mask. I don't know. It's really, I don't know why. Maybe because I know he doesn't want to wear it. It looks dumber.
Yeah, it could be. But he's got one on back. I can't believe they caught him.
That's really funny.
It's so stupid.
And of course, it sounded like they didn't quite believe him either. He at one point, though, he's talking to the media, and there's Ford.
Yeah,
his name?
Bill
Ford Jr. Bill Ford Jr.
Yeah,
and two other Ford muckety mucks, and they're wearing
Hackett.
They're wearing safety glasses and a mask, and Trump's just there wearing nothing.
I know. Well, see, now this is good for him though, because now when he says he wore one backstage, everyone will know he actually wore one backstage when he says that.
Oh, well, that's true, I guess. It's just silly that this became so important to people. It's kind of, honestly, I really don't care if people don't wear masks. I guess I wish they would. I mean, I don't know, because honestly, I don't know. I was told for a month, do not wear a mask. Do not. They need masks on the front lines. And actually, a mask could be worse than not wearing a mask, which, I was scratching my head when they said that. I'm going, how could it be worse? Yeah. And why would all the people on the front line be needing the ones that I'm not going to wear if they're bad? Why do we want to get the frontline people sick by wearing masks that are bad for me? I mean, it was really weird.
Well,
and no one's ever explained, by the way, why they told us not to wear a mask, but they did.
Well, now they have the studies.
Or not to wear a mask. They told us not to wear a mask.
Now they know more about how it's transmitted, though. I mean, they just
But why would you tell people not to wear one?
Oh, I don't understand.
That was just weird to me.
Was it don't wear one, or was it you don't need to wear one?
It was you don't need to, but honestly, I saw this a couple times, and I bet I could find it online, where they said, there are cases where it'd be worse to wear a mask. And I don't remember what the logic was, but I was really kind of taken aback by it. And for a while, I maybe remember this on the show, I was making fun of people wearing masks.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, you still should, because it looks ridiculous, but you should still wear one.
No, because they were saying it was a bad idea, and these people were like bragging on the internet, like, look at me in my cool mask.
You know, it's funny. I was watching, it might have been the former head of the CDC was talking about, and he raised a point that I think a lot of people don't think about. He said, you only really need to wear a mask when you're in a high-risk situation, meaning you're around other people, meaning you don't need to wear it if you're driving your car. You don't need to wear it if you're in your house.
Well, no, it's not like there's something backyard. In the environment that's going to hurt you.
Exactly, yeah. But when you're around other people, it can be transmitted through them talking, especially loud talkers.
Honestly, if you added up all the time that I've worn a mask, it'd probably be, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour, an hour. No, maybe an hour, because I've been, you know, getting coffee, getting this, getting that. I mean, not a ton of stuff. I had to get pet stuff.
Yeah.
No, I've barely worn a mask at all. So it's not, it's just not a big deal to me. And I know somebody's telling me to get a room with my mask and all that stuff.
Well, I'm not going to get in a fight with someone at a store, too, if they want you to wear a mask.
No, honestly, I don't really, but as far as not wearing a mask, I don't, it's not a big deal to me. And I don't think it is a big deal because I think, we're very divided, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that. This is not something, and I have feelings for both sides. People that say, you know, I'm in a higher risk group. So I feel like, well, I probably, if anybody should wear a mask, it should be people my age or older or people who have issues. And on the other hand, if you're really against it and you're really sort of the, hey, we need to get the fuck out of this, I think it is a symbolic kind of thing where people are almost trying to say not just that they're not wearing a mask, but that let's get fucking moving. And I think that's what Trump is doing.
Well, plus he said he was never going to wear one. So,
well, I think it is a thing because the media keeps badgering him. And so, you know, it's just funny that he would say that. I don't give the media satisfaction of seeing me in a mask.
Well,
it's hilarious.
He talks about the important things.
Yeah. So, anyway, this thing got so stupid today. And I said it early on the show. I really kind of thought that, you know, he's fencing with Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah.
That woman from Michigan. And that governor's doing a lousy job. And, you know, I'm sure they know that she could be the vice president because Biden says he's picking a woman and Gretchen's in Michigan, very important state.
So going to be her.
It might be. I just can't believe it myself, but maybe it will be. And she, you know, wears a T-shirt, that woman from Michigan on, what was it?
Cool.
What was the show?
I think it was The Daily Show.
The Daily Show, yeah. And
neat.
She has sparred with Trump. And generally speaking, I think she's held her own. I mean, as far as the perception, I think she's held her own to her credit. And I generally think sparring with Trump is a bad idea. I think people usually somehow it doesn't work out too well because he has the last word always.
Mm-hmm. He's got a bigger platform.
When it comes to fighting with people, he does it all the time. Yeah. I mean, I think you're kind of a rookie if you get in the ring with him. Well, not for everybody, but anyway, I thought in a strange sort of way, I thought she was winning, or she, if she's close or even with him, she's winning in my opinion. But today I thought there was a bad move made. And I don't, this may not be, have anything to do with Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah. This isn't her. Yeah.
It was Dana Nessel and
She's had a lot of bad moves lately.
I thought this was a bad move. I just thought this is the kind of thing that almost fires people up because, I just had CNN on. This is why the show was originally going to start late, because I was watching this and I was like, really? Is this really happening? Then, of course, Trudy's mic was a horrible problem. Not her mic, but her whatever it is. I don't know.
She had over three of them.
Yeah. If only people could have heard that show. Dana Nessel is on with Wolf Blitzer. And first of all, when Trump was speaking live, I went to Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7. They're all carrying him live. He's in Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's probably what you should do.
Oh,
the presence in your state talking?
Here, absolutely.
Yeah,
100%.
And he hasn't made a public appearance in a long time.
No doubt, yep.
And Fox News, boom, there's the president. CNN, they were in a commercial when I flipped over, and I thought, are they not carrying Trump?
They don't want to show the president.
Are they breaking to commercials during Trump? No, I don't think they carried him. I'm not sure, but
they probably didn't.
When I flipped back, he was wrapping up, and Wolf Blitzer was talking to Dana Nessel. And I'm thinking, why is Dana Nessel on? I mean, he's in Michigan, but I just didn't know. And so it's this whole...
Do you want to hear it or play any of it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, play it.
How far into she makes the comments?
Well, I'm not sure about that. It's probably pretty early.
He'll be asked not to return to any undisclosed facilities.
Okay, yeah. Start it there. That's good. If you start right, rewind it to that point. Okay. I just want to say this. Wolf Blitzer, it's almost like he and Dana Nessel are a team, and he's teeing it up for her to hit it out of the park for what it is that she wants to do.
I think you're giving Wolf too much credit to be able to do something like that.
Listen to the softballs. Listen to the questions.
Oh, well, he could just be reading it off a teleprompter.
I think he's teeing her up.
In your state, is the president no longer welcome in Michigan?
Well, I will say, speaking on behalf of my department and my office, that's right. That's exactly right. I mean, today's events were extremely disappointing and yet totally predictable. And I will say that, you know, understanding, of course, that his own doctor, Dr. Fauci, his own medical expert, recommends the wearing of masks in public enclosed spaces. The CDC makes that recommendation.
She doesn't tell the facts.
In Michigan, of course, now that is the law. A court just upheld that.
Yeah.
It's the law to wear a mask.
So it's funny because I said that to ML. He said, well, it's an executive order which carries the weight of a law. And then we kind of got.
Wait. I have to wear a mask I go.
Well, I think I don't know the exact
wording. I could show you so many people not wearing masks.
What's the wording of the executive order? Is it around people or in certain it's certain things? I don't know. I thought the same way you did,
honestly,
and I was corrected.
That's kind of madness. I cannot believe that is a if there's a law, they must have just passed it.
Well, not a law, but an executive order.
She doesn't tell the facts.
That you have to wear a mask anywhere. Like if I go to 7-Eleven, I have to wear a mask.
You know what? I don't know the wording of it. I'm just telling you how I was corrected. So,
is that true in all states or many states?
I don't know about other states.
It sounds a little ridiculous, to be honest. And I'm not.
She is a goofus
against wearing a mask, but I'm just saying there are so many people who think this is the biggest pile of bullshit, and I don't know why. But anyway, okay, continue.
I do think it's interesting though, like people. The whole thing about executive orders,
mm-hmm.
because there's many people that do not like her being in charge and, you know, being a tyrant and laying these executive orders down. Probably about as many that were angry about some of the president's executive orders. So it just falls on whatever side.
Executive orders. I have not heard about executive orders forcing people to wear masks. Now, if businesses say you have to wear a mask, I don't think that's unfair. And you may not like it, but the fact that the people at the store are enforcing it, I feel sorry for those people because there's just no point in bitching at them. They're not making the policy.
For businesses and operations whose in-person work is permitted under other sections from the order.
I would just put a mask on. Even though I didn't want to wear a mask, I would just put one on to go to the store I want to go to. But some people, I mean, people feel really strongly about it. So anyway, let's hear Wolf and Dana Nessel.
So this is the executive order. Any individual able to medically tolerate a face covering must wear a covering over his or her mouth, nose and mouth, such as a homemade mask, scarf, bandana, handkerchief, when in any enclosed public space.
When was this executive order?
Let me go to the top. Hang on. Damn it. Let me find it again.
I don't remember.
That was effective April 26, 2020.
Really? Do you guys remember hearing that?
Any enclosed public space. So
as in like
businesses are private.
But wait a second. When the guys were at the state capitol 3 weeks ago, they weren't wearing masks.
If they were in there, they...
There were legislators that weren't wearing masks.
Well, by this order, they should have. Okay, Lock them all up!
But it's just interesting that, you know, all this tension on the president doing it, but when... regular protester is in the... He's carrying a gun, and he's not wearing a mask. Yeah. He's in a publicly enclosed
building.
It
just shows that... Well, they don't enforce every law, either.
No, they don't. But to say that the president is not welcome in Michigan...
Well,
I mean,
no,
really?
That's stupid. This everything Dana Nessel says in this thing is...
Okay, so what's your
list? He talks like a truck driver.
Because this really...
in Michigan, of course, now that is the law. And in fact...
It's not the law.
Well, you argue with law? You argue with the attorney general about it being a law or not.
Is that the same thing as a law, though? Really?
Well, I mean, I guess if it's mandated that you have to have them.
It's an executive order.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see that hold up in court.
It probably wouldn't, so go
and
file it.
It's not
going
to be enforced.
Yeah. I'm taking her to court.
Go file it. I mean,
I'm not going to file it.
They did that with Trump's court, executive orders, too, you know, and some were upheld and some weren't.
Yeah.
That just upheld the governor's orders just hours ago and even in Ford. It is their own policy. So the president is like a petulant child who refuses to follow the rules. And I have to say, this is no joke. I mean, you just reported that 93,000 people have died in the United States. He is in a county right now where over 100 people have died. I am 20 minutes away from him in Wayne County where we've had over 2,300 people die. This is not a joke. And he's convinced.
Whose mic's worse, hers or Trudy's? Her echo is driving me up.
It's close.
The worst possible message to people who cannot afford to be on the receiving end of terrible misinformation. And it's very, very concerning.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice before his visit. And you said this, among other things. Let me put it up on the screen. Anyone who has potentially been recently exposed, including the President of the United States, has not only a legal responsibility, but also a social and moral responsibility to take reasonable precautions to prevent further spread of the virus. So what message did the President of the United States send to the people of Michigan today, especially the workers there at the Ford plant with his actions today, behind the scenes, backstage? He put on a mask. There were no cameras allowed there. But publicly, the whole time, he was without a mask.
All a lie.
I think the message he sent is the same message since he first took office in 2017, which is, I don't care about you. I don't care about your health. I don't care about your safety. I don't care about your welfare. I don't care about anyone but myself. Continuously sent this message. And what I would say back is that even if you don't have a president of the United States that cares about the residents of this state, fortunately, you have a governor and you have an attorney general who do.
She's a total failure.
We're going to do everything in our power to protect you, even if you have a president who won't.
Because you actually have threatened action against any company or facility, for that matter, that allows the president inside without a mask. So will this Ford plant, for example, face any consequences?
This woman, she's a basket case.
We have to have a very serious conversation with Ford in the event that they permitted the president to be in
Ford.
Are you fucking kidding me? Really? She's going to take Ford to the cellar for a whipping because they let the president.
I don't know what she's doing.
And also, you know, that somewhere in there she says something about he could have killed someone or he could have infected someone. He's tested every day. In fact, he said today, I think he said, I got a test this morning. Mm-hmm. So really, this is why the mask is politics. I mean, the mask, politics before. Now the mask is politics.
This is not going to help her.
No, I thought this was dumb. I thought it was bad. I think it would have been, but again, nobody.
It's very petty.
Nobody can just let anything go. If she had said, you know, I really didn't approve of that, and I wish she had worn a mask,
that's fine.
I wouldn't mind her saying that at all.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear the rest of it.
Okay.
Places in violation of the order. They knew exactly what the order was, and if they permitted anyone, even the President of the United States, to defy that order, I think it has serious health consequences potentially to their workers.
Really?
And this was a lengthy negotiation and discussion between the UAW, the big three auto manufacturers, and our governor to ensure that people, back to work, they would be.
I just want to say something. I've gotten a few emails from people working at plants, auto plants. I'm not going to say where, who sent them, or what plants they're at. They said that this whole thing about our workers are 6 feet apart is total bullshit.
All a lie.
Total.
What about their
watch? I don't know. You know, when they showed us the watch, that was at Ford?
I thought so. Yeah.
Well, I don't specifically remember what plants these people were at, but the message was that is bullshit because we were talking about poultry and auto plants, like they're different auto plants. People are. They said no. There's a lot of people are within 6 feet of each other. It's very difficult to stay away 6 feet from everyone. And if anybody has an alternative view to that, I'm not in these plants, so I'm just telling you what the email said.
There's a Tyson chicken factory that just, you know, like shut down, did a full deep cleaning, brought everyone back to work. This is in North Carolina. And what a surprise. 25% of their employees now have tested positive, 600 of them.
And those I saw the story on those plants, and you see the company spokesman, oh, it's all about safety, and we're keeping the people apart. We set up these shields, and blah, blah, blah. And then they talk to the employees like, we have no choice but to be around each other. The way this is set up, we're constantly around each other. And it's like impossible not to be.
It's
exactly.
Like a wet market, gross.
So, you know, there's bullshit, and then there's what's really going on. And for her to suggest that, oh, I'm so concerned about safety, and that's why we open the auto plants first, because they're the safest. It's like, Dana, that's not, if you were really this upset that this person tested this morning didn't have a mask on, wouldn't you be in that plant citing people for being too close to each other? I mean, this is really, and to say that, you know, he's threatening the health of these people. Come on.
She doesn't tell the facts.
Okay, let's hear the rest of her. Boy, she's yammering.
And this was a promise. It was a commitment that was made by the big three.
Well, to this point.
Yeah, but they're not following through. Somebody's got the virus already.
Why are you attacking Ford?
Not only that. Yeah, no, I think that's really stupid because Ford, you know, what kind of position? Why are you putting them in this position? Yeah. I felt like it was bullshit for them to even have to ask him. He's the president. He's bringing attention to Ford. He went on and on about what a great job Ford did.
He wants to buy one of those $750,000 cars, too. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
I'll find that story. It's pretty sweet.
The
Ford
you knew
GT
he would
supercar. He wants to see it. I want to buy one. That was his quote.
I
want to get in that thing and just drive it right away. Do you mind?
The first thing he said was, you know, I'm going to call from Ford. What can we do for you? And he went on and on about how, you know, World War II and that Ford is doing the same type of thing now. And it was really, you know, and I'm not a dope. You know, I know he's going to kiss Ford's ass because he's there. And Ford did a good job. And that's all good. And now it's just turned into this thing about, oh, the president went by infecting people. And I thought it was.
She really knew how to take a nice shit on the whole thing.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, even
I'm sure they wanted to take a shit on it.
So this is where Whitmer does some pretty good work by just ignoring it and letting it happen and letting it be.
Well, it was clearly Dana Nessel's job to do this, to take a dump on this.
Whitmer wanted her to?
I don't know. I'd love to know, though. Like I said, and I think I mentioned earlier in the show that I thought, Whitmer's kind of holding her own with him. She's really kind of standing up and
she had talked to him about the floods too, the Midland floods.
Oh, that's right.
Which, you know, that's by all accounts that conversation went well.
I thought she was doing okay, and I thought this today was like, oh man, this really, it's just stupid and petty, and it just sounds like it's just making the mask more political than ever. If she really, really is going to enforce this executive order, then she did the wrong thing today because she just drew so much attention to the fact that the mask is a political symbol. And it is a fuck you. I'm not wearing your mask, bitch.
Yeah.
And how it ever became a political symbol, somebody sent me something the other day and they were talking about the virus and they were saying that it felt like when they watch all the news coverage,
the virus,
that they felt like it's almost like there's certain people rooting for the virus. I was like, that sounds so funny to me because
wait, what?
Rooting for the virus,
who's rooting
to kill more people and to, you know, to destroy Trump. God. And I knew what he was saying. I mean, it's not like the virus has cheerleaders or anything, but there are some people who so desperately want Trump out that they probably are rooting for the virus and they're quoting the worst models. And what was the model? There was a model today about something, too. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sick of models.
Dan Nessel, by the way, looking at her Twitter.
Yeah.
She tweeted, Trump refused to wear a face mask during his tour of the Ford plant in Ypsilanti today, despite numerous requests that he do so. Trump does not care about the safety of Michiganders. Luckily, we have an attorney general who does. And then the first response.
You know, that, and right there, when they say stuff like this, luckily you have a governor and attorney general who do care about it. It's like,
it's not about the law or anything, which is supposed to be her job. The first response underneath it is liar in the picture of him in a mask. That's why I said it was good that it was caught on camera for him.
Well, all the Trump people are going to say, he did wear a mask.
Exactly. That's why it was good that he got caught on camera.
And he also said that they gave him the option when they went out, which I don't know if that's true or not. And they'll be in big trouble if they did give them the option.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. What, you know, I'm not letting anyone off the hook with all this childishness, but what a bunch of children we have.
Sure.
It's just so pathetic. And this thing should be, it just makes me cringe when I see this bullshit going on. I just wish, there was a story today about how, I think maybe the New York Times did a story, but all these people were tweeting about it, like, blood is on your hands, Trump. He killed 36,000 people. And it's like, 36,000 people. And it was a story, and they were tweeting a story where the New York Times said, if we shut down 1 week earlier, we would have saved 36,000 people.
Yeah.
Do you really know that? Really? Do you know that?
Based on models, but...
I know, but honestly. And not only that, and I hate it when Trump does it too. He goes, shut the door to... It's like, look, here we are. We'll vote in November, and we'll find out if you did a good job to half the country or not. But to go on and on about it's your fault, point the finger here, there, it's China's fault, whatever. It's like, you know, why don't we just go forward and do the best we can?
Well, it would be nice if people maybe learn from this event, but you know they won't.
No.
You know we won't have stockpiles in the future for the next pandemic in 10 years.
So this thing completely is like, God, you know, we were down here going, well, did Trump talk already? He's like, I guess it was a big nothing. And then, of course, whammo, he starts talking at 4:40, I think, around then. And then Nissel's on CNN. I'm like, wow, am I really watching this? This is so silly. And then
counter-programming, man.
Early, yes.
It's actually smart.
Earlier in the day, I had read this story about the presidential election and this new, these are pollsters who I guess are considered very accurate in terms of presidential polls. They've gotten a couple wrong. I think they got 68 wrong. 68 was decided by very, very little, though.
Yeah.
I think they said they got 76 wrong in maybe 1948, but everybody got 1948, including the Chicago Tribune, who said Dewey defeats Truman and Truman defeated Dewey. So anyway, they've gotten almost every election right. And they today said that Trump, if the election were today, would lose in a landslide. The
election's not today, though.
Well, but I'll tell you what, the information they had made it sound like he has a huge uphill climb, that Biden would flip Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And I can only speak for Michigan. I feel like Biden would win in Michigan today. Now, I don't know. I mean, with Trump, it's so weird. I feel like you never know. He could have 20% or he could have 46%.
Yeah.
I mean, so, it's just really strange. It's hard to say with him.
So this model apparently uses mainly unemployment, disposable income, and inflation to forecast results. So that's fine. That's all well and good. But you know what? You don't know how that's got. There's so many other intangibles that go.
Oh, no, I totally agree. But I understand what they're saying is people don't get elected when the economy is bullshit.
Sure, sure. But and what's the reasons for it?
No, I realize that.
And they really pinning on him?
And I think it is, but...
Because you know that's what they'll say. It's not a, you know...
They're going to say that, but the Democrats are going to say, what a clusterfuck.
Sure.
All these people dead, a lot of them are his fault, and, you know, we could have done this, the Democrats wanted to give more money to do this and that and this and that, and he was impossible. I mean, I can almost see their commercials now. Plus... I'm sure they're on commercials. I'm going, hey, we got 15 cases. It'll be none by Friday. Or, you know, hey, wait till it gets warm. And, you know, they have a lot of good material for commercials. Whether that'll matter or not, I don't know. But anyway, they said he will flip Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, maybe Ohio, Iowa, Missouri, and probably North Carolina. I mean, that would be a landslide.
South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico, California and Texas and New York, South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. Yeah!
And it is all predictive, but they said Trump would get 35% of the vote, which would be, is that the lowest
for an incumbent
total anyone has received? I don't remember anyone getting 35%. And as far as the model you're talking about with unemployment, inflation, et cetera, they're predicting inflation to be a serious problem by election time. And I've been worried about inflation because I have saved dollars that have a certain value. And when you start throwing trillions of dollars into the economy, I do worry a little bit that my dollars that I've saved become worth less, which anybody would be worried about. And I don't hear anyone talking about inflation. So I don't know. I mean, this is what their model says. So and models are only as good as what you put into them. And a pandemic is there's no model you can put a pandemic into. So I thought it was interesting to read.
Pre-pandemic, by the way, they had him winning 55%.
Yeah. 2 months ago.
Yeah.
55%. So they have him dropping 20% in 2 months. Now, the only thing about that is if you can fall 20 points in 2 months, you can also, I mean, we've seen people,
sure.
Who is it? Dukakis was up 16 points or something and lost.
Got in that fucking tank.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to think, but I don't, I'm very skeptical about any poll that has Donald Trump in it because I think people are embarrassed to say they'll vote for him. And the last election was weird. I mean, it was crazy. I'll never forget him. Oh, my God, look at all the things that have to happen for him to win. It's be virtually impossible. But here's how the only way he can do it. And then what do you know? It happened. But the person I think that would like.
Would all this be happening if I had been elected president?
The person who will love this poll is Trump because he will start. I would imagine they will start presenting him as an underdog. And if he starts rising, or if they see that in polls, then it'll be like, look at where I was. And, I mean, people generally will flock to an underdog if there's any reason to. But if things keep going as shitty as they are. And his speech today, I noticed that he was very on point.
You are so generous. Thank you.
And I think when he goes off point, you know, when you're on TV 14 hours a week, talking about death and all this other craziness. I don't know. I hate politics, but people win being on point. And I don't know if this is a different thing or I didn't even see the whole thing. So he may have gone wildly off point too. He said some funny things.
I saw a lot of, he went off. I mean, it was fine. The whole thing was fine.
I thought for him, it looked like a good speech for him.
Yeah.
But usually he was, you know, and he was looking down, he was looking at numbers and spewing them out and they were all, I mean, it was all good as far as him saying, Ford, great job. Thank you so much.
He was upset. He couldn't shake the hands of the people he was bringing up to speak, which by the way, social distancing, the other platform was like 50 feet away from him.
Well,
it looked good. I mean, he had the truck behind him and then you could see the other cars when it panned out. He started talking about the Bronco, and I think, Brandon, you and I were watching at that time, and I was like, oh, my gosh, please just go off on an OJ tangent here. That Ford Bronco, they used to make those back in the day. My friend OJ had one.
He's got a lot of things in it, Brain.
What a vehicle.
What a vehicle that was. He said something about, you know, they weren't making cars. They were making ventilators and saving lives. And these people have been making, for the last 100 years, they've been making these things we call cars. He had a couple lines like that. I'm curious to see the news tonight. Well, this Dana Nessel, that he's not allowed in Michigan, it'll probably be the lead story, I would imagine. And let's see how people respond to that. I don't know. Maybe, you know, the people that don't like Trump, they probably just love stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't see that.
It's really the independents that are the difference makers, and we seem to never know how they feel.
Well, it always seems it matters, you know, who's going to turn out to vote. People have to still go out and vote. So here's the Nessel story. It's on Free, but it's kind of down on the list.
Oh, there was a trending. You can hit the outro. There was a trending today on Twitter about Tyson Holyfield.
Oh, they're gonna fight again?
Well, there's a lot of speculation that Mike Tyson is gonna be fighting again. He's talking about wanting to do another battle here. He's got a lot of videos of him doing punches. And something has come up where, yes, Tyson Holyfield 3. Now they're in the early negotiations of it. I don't know if it's gonna go through, but I don't know. I guess
Tyson's in shape.
When's Foreman gonna come back?
I bet he does.
Remember his comeback? He needs dough.
That was amazing. Another weird sports story today, just speaking of Twitter, reminded me. Chris Sims is trending on Twitter. And it was because earlier in the day, he had said that Dak Prescott turned down 5 years, $175 million. And that his last year, he wanted to be north of $45 million. And, of course, all these people retweeted it. It was like the sports story of the 3 hours or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the source, Chris Sims, it was revealed that no one had talked to Chris Sims. Dak Prescott said, I haven't talked to Chris Sims. The story is complete bunk.
Wow.
But, of course, it got reported to all hell. And I was even going, man, what an asshole Dak Prescott is. So, you know, I don't. It's really strange how people say shit like that. Chris Sims, by the way. What, Chris Sims? Is he really a good source for a story?
I mean, he's a broadcaster.
I know, but I just people used to nail stuff like that down before they would give someone else credit for this incredible breaking story, only to go, oh my God, I was total bullshit. Chris Sims didn't know what he was talking about. And then I think everybody ends up with a little egg on their face. Although I noticed Adam Schefter was saying that we did not report this and, you know, it ain't happening. So listen, everybody have a great holiday weekend. Hey, get together with 9 other people and just have a blowout. We'll catch you next week.
It's the weekend!